It's time for Mac Break Weekly. We've got Allison Sheridan from NoSillaCast. The amazing, we'll call him the Flying Dutchman, Alex Lindsay's flown into town. And, of course, Andy Iannocco, too, to talk about the latest iOS news and a little bit of Mac news, too. It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 320, recorded October 9th, 2012. Do we have a name for the booger? Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Ford. Ford invites tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab your tech geek badge at social.ford.com. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MACBREAK10. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code MACBREAK. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/MacBreak. And to get a copy of Brandon Sanderson's Legion absolutely free, visit audible.com/Sanderson. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers your Apple stuff. Maybe Mac stuff. It really depends if there's any Mac stuff. I will ask a Mac question of our esteemed panel, but I don't know if we'll have a Mac answer. Let's start to my left with Mr. Andy Iannocco, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Celestial. Waste of bandwidth. Now with more balalaika.
It's a ukulele. It's a fluke concert scale ukulele with a composite body and I believe a rosa top. And yes, sorry.
So, not that you're not a great ukulele player, but why do you have such a fancy ukulele? You don't play it, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do.
Well, this is actually the first ukulele I bought. Bought from.
Oh, wow.
Actually, the first editor I had and got paid for. He's a guitar player and ukulele player, and we were talking about like ukuleles for like 6 or 7 months, and said, "Here's mine."
I thought maybe your roommate was Jake Shimmer.
Take back to dinner, no.
Kaburo or something, and you just like. Just leaves it lying around.
No, you see, if he were my roommate, he would pretty much have instituted, Andy, you're not allowed to do what you do to the ukulele.
I love your.
You're not allowed to do that.
To me, and you know, he's a virtuoso, but to me, the ukulele really is for sailors, people, just kind of plucking. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like the horn, hornpipe or that squeeze box that they have on the boat.
It's a fun, non-threatening, non-intimidating
exactly.
instrument that fits nicely like next to your desk as you're waiting for another machine to reboot. you can get through two or three chords and master a really odd like transposition while you're waiting for it. Okay,
exactly.
I really thought that I could just use this video player, but I guess I need to restart again. Yay! Isn't this simpler than cable TV? And then you're strumming your ukulele and suddenly you're less annoyed by stupid decisions.
I went next door to our local music shop, Told Music. And I bought a ukulele because I love it. It's really, and I said, do you guys have lessons? They kind of laughed. They said, nobody really takes lessons. You just play it.
Actually, funny you should mention that. I believe I'll double check to make sure, but I believe that all during the month of October, every guitar center is doing free ukulele lessons on like Saturday mornings. So there's someone
this is your
like
chance.
At least,
exactly. I'm going to guitar center. That's Alex Lindsay. My God, I haven't seen you in ages. Welcome back.
Good to see you. At least a week.
Nice shirt.
Thank you.
Is that really blue or are you green screened today?
I actually carry around my own green screen. I mean, people, every once in a while you just want to be somewhere else. And
yeah.
You just have a green
yeah.
screen.
Yeah. 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 Nice to see you.
It's good to be
Travel's
here.
Good. Things
yes.
going well.
Yes. I'm here for a whole other week.
You brought a little to show and tell, which you want to make that your pick?
because we want to buy
one.
It's
not a Mac pick, but I thought when you talked about it, I thought
I need one, and we're trying to raise money. I'll explain how we're raising money to buy one of those things that you got there. Hey, but before we talk about that, let's say hello to Allison Sheraton from NozillaCast, who was out here over the weekend, but unfortunately we do Mac Break Weekly on Tuesdays, so she's back home, right?
I am. I was excited to be there, though. That was a lot of fun.
It's great to have you.
And by the way, it's NozillaCast, Leo, not NozillaCast.
I know, but I like the nose part. So it has nothing to do with noses?
Or Mozilla. I think that was why everybody says that. But
I just think of noses. Anyway, Nozilla. What does it mean?
Christmas news.
What does it mean?
It's kind of stupid. It's my name spelled backwards.
Allison backwards is no.
I wanted to be able to talk about whatever I wanted to talk about, so I picked an obscure website with podfeet.com and an obscure name so that no one would be able to figure out what it was about.
And you've been doing this for a long time. You've had more episodes than we have of Mac Break Weekly.
Woo!
Yes.
Yeah, 7.5 years now, I think.
Holy cow.
Not as far back as you go personally, but I started.
No, I'm a little older than seven. No, I know what you're saying, though. But no, you did this. You started doing this before we started doing Mac Break. This is a classic.
Yay.
And you were out for the Big Mac Expo, which is weird because it's in Petaluma. And I never make it because I'm always doing a radio show during it.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's sort of like a super user group kind of thing, but it's kind of intimate, but everybody's really into the sessions and lots of great questions, and it was great hanging out with my Mac homie, so it was really fun. I definitely recommend it.
Oliver Breidenbach is still here from Boink Software. He never left. He just moved in.
Well, you got to admit, once you get to Petaluma, you just kind
of don't want to leave.
This is kind of nice.
But you're from Munich, right? Yeah. So Munich's a nice place, although Oktoberfest is over, which is really frustrating.
Well, we've got
a 10 deaths
online.
Tourists arrive in October for Oktoberfest and then find out that it's over and like get upset? Does that ever happen? Like they're looking around, where is it?
It must happen, yes.
Yeah, it must, because it's in September. Did you know that?
I have a word for that. Research. if you're gonna fly all the way to Germany, you might want to try to figure out exactly when it's occurring.
But they called it Oktoberfest. Right. Does October mean September in German?
No.
Okay, just checking.
It's just a German joke.
It's a joke on everybody else.
It teaches everyone to be more precise.
You have to have a certain level of intelligence to be allowed.
You have to have a certain level of intelligence to drink mass quantities of beer.
Yes, in Germany,
says Oliver. In Germany.
Here, not there's
Ollie
not that requirement.
Ollie has a very odd sense of humor.
It drove
us around quite a bit. It's very strange.
Oh, I love it. You call him Ollie?
Oh, sorry. Oliver?
Can I call you Ollie, too?
Sure.
All right. And I'll call Allison. I'm going to call you Fran, and I'll be Kukla, and we'll have a show.
Can I be Siffle?
you may.
Lower third.
Siffle and Ollie. Siffle and Ollie show.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get serious because it was October 5th, 2011, a year and 4 days ago, that Steve Jobs passed away in a very sad day. I remember on the Twit Network, we were doing triangulation. Kevin Marks was being interviewed. And as often happens, the chat room was the first to say anything. And having seen two previous incidents of people declaring Mr. Jobs dead and being wrong, two fairly well-known mistakes earlier that year, I decided to hold off a little bit. We did some research, and in fact, sad to say, it was, much as we didn't want it to be, true. And Kevin, who had worked for a long time at Apple, was part of the QuickTime team. I think pretty much invented QuickTime. Had some memories, and we went on. It was a moving time. You were here for that, were you not? Yeah.
So, I remember a lot of us went over to Ken Ray had his live show. He just dumped up the live show in the chat, and it was sort of like you needed to be with other Apple people to understand how oddly upsetting it was.
I think that's true.
Sure, it was sad, but it was big sad. You know, I didn't expect to be as emotionally affected by it as I was.
It was as if we all knew him personally.
Well, I think it was a little like when I didn't have that sort of connection when John Lennon died, but you understand that when somebody is writing the soundtrack to so much of the key events of your life, or you organize your life's memories according to the work of this other person or this other company, when suddenly that person is no longer, it really does hit home. I mean, part of the rug gets pulled out from you a little bit there.
I know. I thought
even though we saw it coming.
Oh, he had been declared dead for, you know, his surgeon said, you're not going to make this 5 years earlier. I mean, the guy really had a huge life force and stayed alive a lot longer than his physicians expected. But in the end, he did succumb to the pancreatic cancer. And, you know, I think a year later is a good time to kind of reflect, because at the time, it was, you know, it was kind of a mixed bag. There were lots of memories, of both negative and positive. But now a year later, I think we can kind of think more clearly about his legacy. And boy, it seems like the world is the tech world particularly is a less interesting place in the last year.
I definitely agree. I mean, I think that I think Apple's doing a great job. I mean, continuing to move forward. I think that
the stock market disagrees, by the way, and I think the stock market has decided that the iPhone 5 is proof that the Steve Jobs gold glitter dust is gone. Seriously, I think that's what. That's why the stock has been going down.
It's a blip. They're blips up, they're blips down. Go from year to year, and that's really the metric that you need to look at.
I know.
We're expecting people who think they know something about money trying to make guesses about technology,
right,
and they rarely correct.
They often know little about either,
yeah, exactly.
As it turns out.
So I don't think that's necessarily.
But it is down to $638 bucks this morning. I mean, that's
it's down to $638.
Oh my goodness! They're still
don't
the
walk on the, don't walk on the sidewalks of San Jose because there are Apple employees jumping.
Well, I gotta point out it was over $700 when the iPhone 5 came out.
That's what always happens before before a release.
And yet they're selling absolutely every one of them they can possibly make. Alex can't even get one, right?
I know. I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
I want one.
Boy, that's terrible. They're doing a horrible job.
Yeah. Well, and maybe they are. I mean, they should be able to make more of them. That's certainly one issue.
That it is an interesting idea that they Apple has this problem time and time and time again, and that is the problem you want to have, where you can't make them as fast as you're selling them, and also where you don't have lots of inventory just hanging around. But on the other hand, how much money is Apple leaving on the table? Clearly not much. But if there's any one thing that any analyst could complain about Apple, it's like, you could be making more money for us, but you're not. Have higher.
That's probably
factories online.
That's probably what the market's saying is, hey, why aren't you making more money for us?
My response always when they say they can't, they should be able to handle supply. I'm just kind of like, yeah, let's try to make 10 million of anything.
It's hard. And the demand is higher than it was last year.
Well, so, not only that, the things that we're seeing with at Foxconn and everything else, a lot of it is also, it's not only that they're making 10 million of these, is that they keep on becoming more exacting. They keep on becoming, you know, the tolerances keep on tightening on exactly how to make these. I mean, they're saying we're going to make this object that was really hard to make, and we're going to make it even harder to make, and then we're going to make more of them. That's the issue.
I should also point out that a year ago, on the death of Steve Jobs, Apple stock closed at $370 bucks.
Wow.
And they've added more than $300 billion in the last year of market value.
Wow. Yeah, they almost doubled.
Yeah,
they
almost the place has fallen apart.
They almost doubled it. I think it's ridiculous to even say whether Steve's legacy. I mean, look, he's not there anymore. I think probably the iPhone 5 is the last thing that he really had a hand in, yes?
I think that he has a lot of ideas that are probably bouncing around for the next 5 or 10 years. We're going to see stuff that he was thinking about that they were working on. Will they have the same? Will they come out the same way? You know, who knows? But I think that there's. He was talking about something. I think I was looking at an article over the weekend about this, that he was talking about something like an iPad 30 years ago. You know, 25, 30 years ago.
When the iPad came out, before I even had it, when they announced it in January of, 2010, I said at that time, this is the product Steve wanted to make from day one.
Absolutely.
This is the computer for the rest of us. The technology just wasn't there yet.
So I guarantee that there's other things that they've been talking about at Apple, other things that he talked about that are way out there. You know, he's talked about in the past cars, and he's talked about,
right.
I mean, I think that Apple's opportunity right now is if something touches technology and we hate it, this is a market opportunity for them because it doesn't work well, like TVs, like cars, like our microwave, like, you know, banks. You know, those are the kind of things that I think are opportunities for Apple to.
Mac Texan says, wait till October 25th when the quarterly earnings come out. Apple, he predicts a $750, and possibly he's right. I mean, the earnings, of course, will be good. And what is interesting, and Tim Cook was getting a lot of praise early in the iPhone 5 cycle for getting a lot of iPhone 5 sales into the last quarter. He only had a week of that last quarter, and by launching it so big in so many countries, having it sell so well in that first week, You can say that they did. They put a lot of that value back into that quarter.
Well, and I think that also you're going to see. I do think we're going to see the iPad Mini coming out in this quarter, and so I think that the combination of a lot of iPhone 5 sales as well as iPad Minis, which I've actually, the more I've done the research and looked at what the rumors are, at least, I'm more interested in an iPad Mini than I am in an iPad at this point. So, regardless of the price.
It's not unusual, though, for companies that had strong founders and leaders to drift a little bit. Disney, when Disney died, the story goes that the Disney folks spent many, many years saying, what would Walt do? And that froze them and they were unable to grow until Michael Eisner came along and said, you know, threw it all out. Ford is another example. This is from an article by Street Authority at Insider Monkey. I don't know if this is credible or place or not, but they do raise this issue. Ford, when he passed away in 47, did fine through World War II. It helped them and so forth. But by 2005, Ford was struggling because they stopped innovating, right? They didn't innovate as Henry Ford might have. And then they, by the way, got Alan Mulally in there and turned it around.
But Apple's got the combination of the supply chain from Cook and Johnny Ive still there, who was, by all reports, doing most of the really, really cool innovations anyway. Maybe they've got enough to hold that on a lot longer.
That's
the
question, isn't it? Yeah. Certainly Jobs did not do it by himself. He brought a very good team together, and that team is, for the most part, still there.
I think there is a challenge when you have...
One of the things that Steve Jobs did at Apple is that he created a company at which someone like Steve Jobs could succeed. And so that's why most of the people that you meet who have achieved that sort of high level where they're part of the directorship of the company think like Steve and they work like Steve. When you're a journalist, you work with a lot of different companies, and I don't know of any other company that I've talked to so many people with, and they seem to speak as though it's one company doing one product line, as opposed to you'll hear something from the phone division of one company, and then you'll talk to someone from the tablet division who doesn't seem to have ever heard of this product that the same company is working on that just gave me a briefing on this a week ago. So that's why I think one of the things that's going to help out Apple, that is helping out Apple, is that there's very little of that internal backbiting. They seem to be putting all of their, most of their work into actually producing products as opposed to fighting to see who gets to own the future of Apple. You don't see the laptop division fighting the desktop division, fighting the iOS division, or at least if they're doing it, they're doing it in a way that makes for better laptops and better desktops and better iOS.
That's devices. A really good point. And there's I think credit to Steve Jobs for that. That you don't have this Kremlin-esque jockeying for leadership role
like Microsoft,
like a lot of companies. He groomed Tim Cook well. Tim, it was clear that Tim was the successor. You know, there was a lot of heat from the market on Apple for not having a public succession plan, as Steve declined. And obviously, they had a private one, and they've done a damn good job of implementing it.
Well, I think one of the
companies ever do that, right? You never hear about somebody actually doing a succession plan. You talk about it, you put it on paper, but you don't teach them how to do it.
Right.
And he actually taught how to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I think he knew. Of course, they had a luxury. In a way, they had this luxury. It's kind of a grim luxury of knowing that Steve was not going to be around much longer, at least a year. And he went around telling people what to do.
Put it.
Yeah,
yeah. You get back to your Michael Eisner comparison, where Jeffrey Katzenberg was groomed to be the replacement for Eisner. He's going to be the head of Disney at some point. Eisner kind of reneged on this, and they wound up. Katzenberg simply said, okay, guess what? I'm building my own Disney, and part of my job is going to be, if Disney is doing an animated cartoon about ants, I'm going to have my company do an animated cartoon about ants. It's going to come out a month earlier just to stick it up your nose.
And it's no accident that Lord Farquhar looks exactly like Eisenberg. No, that's, by the way, I think that's a little bit of the scuttlebutt. And at the end of Shrek, remember, he's going into the Magic Kingdom and there's all these lines, stanchions he has to go through. There's a little bit of a... Eisenberg.
Also supposedly, the name of that character is a homonym for a nickname for
Rosebud. Here's Allison's pumpkin. That is beautiful, Allison.
I did that by hand.
I'm impressed. It looks a little bit like a Muppet, But that's okay, because we know who it is.
Might not be quite right.
I love it. So you actually have that pumpkin. That's so cool.
Well, not anymore. It'd be kind of nasty looking by now. It was from last year.
Oh, it was last year. Yeah. They decay fast.
A little bit. A little moldy. Kind of smelly.
Did you use a Dremel tool?
No, but I have a Dremel tool.
Apparently, there's hardcore people in the world who use Dremel tools to carve.
My kids love it. It's like a big entertainment. Well, you start off.
Oh my
off
gosh,
with a,
I'm so going to use it this year.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's very refined, right? You can really, you can just
buy a cheap one and put cheap one. Because the thing is the pumpkin gets everywhere and into everything. So I have a Dremel that I only use on pumpkins.
Yeah. And don't do it in the living room.
No. And cover yourself up.
So does it fly everywhere when you're
doing this? Yeah, it's like you get covered with this coating of pumpkin.
But the Dremel's like 1,000 RPM.
The kids love it, though. And you can make really defined teeth.
So maybe outside, a little outside carving.
Oh yeah, definitely outside.
Yeah. No, I do it out on the porch, and I do it somewhere where it's going to be easy to like
hose it down.
Off. It's definitely not the cleanest way to do a pumpkin, but it does make cool pumpkins. I'm just saying.
Definitely going to do that. I really like the way the show stays on plot, Leo. I'm glad we have the agenda.
No.
Apples and pumpkins are, they're all.
You made
plants.
The pumpkin. We got into pumpkins.
Oh, I started it then.
This it's your fault. There is a company making, I think these are beautiful, modded MacBook Pros with that image that, remember, we'll never forget that image that we saw last year, created by an artist from Hong Kong named Jonathan Mock. And they, I guess if you, but these are, there's a very limited edition of these Steve Jobs. There's only three Steve Jobs tribute MacBooks from Uncover. Let me see. When last time I checked, the auction had just started and nobody had bought it. Wow.
Those are beautiful, though.
£11,000 the bid is up to now.
Euro.
Oh, euros. That's even worse.
No, I think
that's
it's better.
That's not that much money.
Is it better?
I think it's better.
I can't. You know better than me. That's not much money. Isn't that like $20,000? How much is that?
$11,000. Oh, 11,000. Sorry.
Okay. Let me just, I can just do a little quick Google on this.
I believe that's about $13,000. 13 to 14.
Oh, so the euro is not as much. Yeah, $14,161. Euro is not as much as I thought it was. Only 8,910.
A euro is not what it used to be.
So, wow, that's a lot of money for a $1,500 laptop with a special cover.
Is any of this going to charity or is it just?
Just greed. Pure and simple. I don't know. The item is from the Netherlands. They
the
probably
Dutch.
Use a Dremel
Always
tool.
That's for the person who's got everything.
Once you yes. Profits from this auction will be split between two causes. The charity Get It Done and a fund we set up together with people at Sullenapp, especially for this auction dedicated to creating iOS apps. Interesting. That's a lot of money, but it would certainly be a one-of-a-kind collector's item. Only three of them available. And the guy...
I'm kind of looking forward to the idolatry to sort of like tamp down a little bit because I don't know many people who really, really want to have their faces be on banners and flags years after they die.
Only so, Chairman Mao.
Maybe a Think Different ad. Yeah. That'd be okay.
Yeah. Allison, you make an interesting point. You said that that Jobs will be studied in business schools for a long time, but he really is unique. I don't know if he could be a template for others.
Well, but the way the company was run could be, right? But to see a company that goes down to, what did he say? It was 3 weeks from bankruptcy to the most valuable company in the world. They've got to study that because I was in a class once a long time ago that talked about how it went in the toilet. But that was a long time ago before it came out of the toilet. So I'm just picturing these classes where they're like, how do you capture that? What was it they did? Yeah, a lot of the stuff you were talking about, the focus on a single product and not having these different infighting groups. How was it organized? How did that happen?
Well, and there's a whole culture. I mean, anybody who's had any meetings at Apple ever is there's an incredible focus that you don't oftentimes see at other companies, where there's just,
Steve Jobs did when he came back is he said, we're cutting all these lines. In the Walter Isaacson book, he says he drew a quadrant, two lines crisscrossed.
and made four boxes. He says, we have two, we have, this is what we have, consumer, professional, mobile, desktop. That's four products. That's it. And they cut, I mean, they had this, they had a crazy under Scully was, and then Emilio. And
it
Spindler.
Was confusing. I remember trying to buy my parents a Mac in the mid-90s and not, literally just not buying one because I couldn't figure
it's
out funny. What I wanted.
It's like, a lesson.
Should
no
I
one,
have a TV tuner or should I have
I
this?
Know. And but look at Dell. Look at Toshiba. Look at Lenovo. It's a lesson no one else in this industry has learned. They're all doing hundreds of SKUs.
Yeah, and
well,
and we,
there's, I mean, there's a difference. There's a way to do that right and there's a way to do that wrong. I would put it that Samsung, for instance, does it right and some other companies do it right, where there are a lot of companies where their position is whoever it is who's out there looking for product X with money in their hand, we are willing to put products X in that person's hand and take their money. And so that's why you have handset makers that are making three different lines of phones and each phone in two or three different sizes because they want to cover all of the bases. Whereas Apple is, nope, we're going to make very, very smart wagers on one thing. And not only are we going to put all of our efforts into that one thing, we're also going to put all of our efforts into explaining to people why this was the right choice. And what consumers really like is someone who clearly is smarter than they are, who has thought about this purchase more than they have, who is telling them not here is 11 different kinds of this thing, take your pick, but here is the one that you want, and it's the one that we sell. So that's what Apple's doing so smart.
Web7243 in the chat room makes a good point. He says it's two different business models. One is Apple's is based on high margins, making a lot from the machine. The other is based on high volume, as you described, Andy, selling as many machines as you can. Now, Apple, unfortunately, has done an interesting thing, which is they've managed to have high margins and high volume together, and that's a winning strategy.
That's the way everybody should build their business.
Yeah.
You know, when you guys were talking about they really ought to be building more of these, wouldn't you love to maybe play those articles to the people working in Foxconn and say, yeah, you should be making more of them. You're not going fast enough.
Well, that's kind of what they've done, isn't it? I mean, I imagine the pressure now on Pegatron, Foxconn, these other companies that are the Chinese companies that are manufacturing them. They're told make more, make them as fast as you can, and by the way, more precisely than ever before.
And it sounds like that's what the current upset at Foxconn was related to.
Strikes
was not the amount of it wasn't at least what it looks like. I mean, you know, we're not there, but what some of the reports are is that it wasn't about the number of hours, and it wasn't about the hard work, and it wasn't about those things. What it was about was the quality control employees who have to pay attention to it, and the tolerances were tightened. And when they tighten those tolerances, it means that they send more back, which makes the workers that are building them more upset and creates this huge amount of friction. So it wasn't the amount of work. It was the fact that the tolerances had tightened, which means that it created more conflict internally, which then generated a strike. You know, because they're just really upset that they have to deal with, because then they have to deal with conflict every day rather than getting them out the door. And so it sounds like they're not only trying to make more, but they're also tightening all these tolerances down to a level that is, you know, you have to admit that, you know, you can decide that a lot of these other phones are better for this reason or another. But the one that is the most consistent quality still, in my opinion, of the ones that I pick up is definitely, you know, the iPhone.
Well, this one especially now, it's like a fine Swiss watch, which, by the way, I dropped and dinged badly. But
let's see. let's see the poor little guy.
Ooh,
ow.
Yeah, there's a big divot out of it now.
I heard about that on Twitter, and I was like...
It looks like...
I was very curious.
It looks like
that.
It was made out of pewter or lead. Oh, and it just like... scooped a little scoop out of it. And then at the other side, I don't even remember dropping it, but I think what it did is it hit there, it bounced, and then it hit there because at the other end, you'll see more divots.
I got a chip in mine and never dropped it at all. And, you know, Andy, when you were talking...
That's what I got, that chip. Yeah.
That little tiny shiny spot right about there.
Yeah, I see it. That's what I got.
And I didn't drop it. I didn't set anything on it.
Well, I don't remember dropping it. You too, Andy?
No. I've been carrying mine without a case for like more than a week, and it's perfect. And now watch me drop it on the tile floor as I'm just trying to show off.
He's so proud. He's had it for a whole week, and it's not dinged yet. Wow.
I don't think I've seen of all the iPhone rollouts. I'm not sure I've seen so many like non-issues trying to become inflated into huge, huge problems. Like because we saw the scratching quote issue unquote, which to me just says that. We went from a device that's made out of stainless steel and aircraft glass, the right. two most difficult commercial products, materials to scratch, to something that is made of the same, much the same stuff that's made of everything else. Maybe it is going to scratch. We're just used to like that never happening on an iPhone. And then the issue with the lens flare, where people are complaining, or excuse me, I shouldn't denigrate what other people think is acceptable and unacceptable. But as soon as I found out that, people are complaining there's an issue about the lens will flare. And every time I had these big, big lights, and I was trying to make these lens flare happens. And yeah, you could make the purple colored lens flare certainly happen on the iPhone 5, and it would not happen on other iPhones or other phones. But I had to come down to, but it's still a ruined shot. Of all three of these sample shots, there are three unusable ruined shots.
Looks like crap anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and again, maybe some people just simply have a higher tolerance. Well, there was a flare in the HTC version of that. There's a flare in the iPhone 4S version, but it's not as I could simply accept it and move on. Whereas this purple just ruins the whole thing. I mean, this is the grave that Apple has dug for itself. Their standards are so high and their reputation is so good, they now need to make a phone that will never ever scratch, no matter what you do with it, too, and can take great pictures when you're pointing the lens directly into the sun. Now I'm feeling more.
We would like your camera.
For me.
We would like your camera to defy the law of physics.
Yes.
Hey, Alex, when you were talking about the workers in Foxconn and the accuracy that they're having to hit, one of the things I thought was interesting in the Laptop Mag website was that they said that one of the problems was they have these expectations of quality, but they haven't told them how to create that level of quality. And that's kind of back on, you know, on the company. It's not the workers are sloppy. If you haven't taught them, here is how you do it in order to get to this exacting quality, then, you know, you're an idiot.
Well, and I think that the other thing is that we're not talking about the workers being sloppy. We're talking about intolerances of hundreds of thousands of inches. I mean, you know, like of just insane tolerances that they have to meet.
You have processes that allow that to happen. You don't just, you know, work harder.
Well, and I think it's just trying to figure it out, too. You know what I mean? Like, I think that part of it is just like, let's see which ones are working and figure out how they're doing that. Because I think that it's a very, very, difficult process.
There's a line in the reviewer's guide for the iPhone 5 that I really wanted to quote, but you don't like to quote things directly from the reviewer's guide that a company gives you. But really, if it's true, it certainly is very impressive, where they describe the manufacturing process where you have high speed 20 megapixel cameras that during the automated assembly process are constantly evaluating. Here is the minute variations in the sizes of these of the iPhone 5 frames, comparing it to this glass screen that has the closest matching tolerance to that. So obviously that you can't get the same part within like, you know, 1/1,000,000th of an inch. There's going to be some variation, but you have cameras that are trying to figure out, well, this one is a little bit too wide on this axis, but here's a case that's also a little too wide by almost exactly the same amount. Great, we'll put these two together and we'll still get a perfect fit. That is an unusual level of obsession on build quality.
We're going to take a break. There's one more Steve Jobs story. We'll talk about it in just a second. Why Apple patents everything. It's an interesting story.
It's very interesting.
One more anecdote. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Ford. We were talking about it earlier. The big turnaround, of course, under Alan Mulally. What a job he's done making Ford going from a company that was struggling to a company that is just firing on all eight cylinders. I say eight because I drive a 2010 Mustang.
Show off.
5.0 with eight cylinders. But they have a great new site for people who, like me, like to brag about their Fords. It's called social.ford.com. It's where we Ford owners go to hang out. It's also a great place to live. I just was reading this article. I love this. Do you have ET for EV? ET etiquette for electric vehicles. It's never been kind of, you know, we haven't had enough of them to worry about it. But I love this. You know, never unplug somebody else's electric vehicle until you're sure it's charged. If you don't need charging, don't take a charging spot, right? Because now at the airport, at the Oakland airport, front row parking right there at the terminal, they've got like eight charging stations.
You know, I have seen that and thought, I really need an EV car just so that I can
park. So you could park there. Yes. Here's one. If you charge your EV at someone's house, you know, you pull up and say, hey, can I just plug in for a bit?
Offer them some change.
Offer them some cash for the fuel. Throw them some change. How did you know? Exactly right.
Is that what they said?
Yeah. Oh.
See, they said they'll probably laugh at you. Here, exactly. Here's a dime. Thanks for the charge. it's a fun site where you can read articles. I have an article on there. Actually, I was talking with one of Ford's lead technologists about the API and app link. You know, all the geeky stuff, autonomous vehicles. Oh, here's an interview with Carroll Shelby. He's got a new Shelby designed Mustang that is so, so sweet. Actually, I think it's a GT, not a Mustang.
I can't wait until they have a Mustang like that that's electric.
You know, it is in the works because when I talked, I talked to Alan. He said the whole idea, the reason we were a little slower than others, we didn't get an electric car out until this year, is because what we essentially wanted to do is design it so that all of our lines for all of our vehicles can interchangeable drivetrains, gas, diesel, electric, hybrid, electric, and
so eventually you can just choose. And so, like, well, oh, I just
because
like to have this one with.
It's actually smart planning, and this is why Ford is now a viable company, because it's based on demand.
Right.
Well, if people want electric Mustangs, no problem. You flip the switch, and now you're just dropping in that engine. It's really these guys are, and the other thing is because Ford, unlike a lot of companies, is international,
right?
And they have manufacturing plants all over the world. It's another thing entirely. They used to have a U.S. design and then an Indian design and a Britain design. Now they've figured out ways to make the vehicles. The 2012 Focus is a great example. It's an international vehicle. One body design with some frills that they change around the world. But basically, the efficiency that they're creating is huge. This is a company where you really could study them in business school. Similar turnaround in the last 10 years. Amazing. Go to social.ford.com. You could celebrate your Ford vehicle, learn about others' Ford vehicles. If you don't have a Ford vehicle, you can dream. There's an ideas suggestion box that I love with lots of great ideas. You know, Ford to Ford Wi-Fi. You know, so like if you're driving down the road, you share your music with the other Ford next door.
Would that become a distraction, though?
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's
dangerous
like,
at all.
And how do you signal them? You drive up and you raise your eyebrows, like, hey,
I got a song for you. Actually, one of the things that I talked about with Buczkowski with, and is in my interview, is the idea of the car being aware of road conditions. So if the traffic's bad or it's bad weather, it kind of limits the kinds of things you can do. You know, it simplifies your focus so that you're much less likely to get into trouble. It's just some really interesting ideas. So those are in the ideas section. Grab a badge. Of course, they've got badges for all different Ford owners, and there's one for you, the Tech Geek badge. You're not just ahead of the curve. You're the one leading
it. I actually rented a Ford when I was in Hawaii on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm a hardcore Honda Acura fan. I've had Hondas and Acuras since 1978. And I got to tell you, I got in the car and I said, okay, let's see how this Ford Sync thing is. Leo's always yapping about. And I took out my phone and I said, and it said, oh, you want to hook up with Bluetooth? There's your phones.
Isn't that nice?
Record all your contacts? Yeah.
Yeah.
Done. I mean, that's about 14 minutes in my Acura.
Yeah.
And it usually fails and I have to start over. It worked flawlessly on both phones. It was fantastic.
Similar story here on social.ford.com. People who traded in their 2,000-mile BlueTEC Mercedes for a Ford Edge. Because of the sink. He says, my husband usually wants a different car every 6 months, but he loves his Edge. We drive it every day back and forth from Washington to Arizona.
That's a long trip.
That's a long trip. And that's where sync really is great to be able to do. I get in and my book, my audiobook starts and continue. I mean, I love it. Social.ford.com to find out more. We thank them for their support of Mac Break Weekly. So, I don't know. This is an interesting story. So it goes back to 2006. Apple was sued by Creative Technology because they had a patent on portable music playback devices. Creative, I think, owned the... did they own the Diamond Rio? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think they were
the Rio. They bought the Diamond
Rio. Because that went so well for them.
Well, the Rio was the first. So in a way, you know, you could say, hey, we predated the iPod.
Right.
Clearly, it's my first MP3 player.
We didn't do it very well, but we did it first.
They had to fight all the legal actions from the recording industry saying that device was illegal and try to get it banned from sale.
That's right.
So we do owe them a certain debt of gratitude.
So, and this is actually part of a larger, highly recommended article in the New York Times about the broken patent system. But what the consequence of this lawsuit against Apple, and I'm not sure how it went. I think Apple did not lose it. But Steve at that point said...
all right, if that's how they want to play it, we are going to patent everything. We are just not, you know, we are going to patent everything. This is, that's the game. Then, okay, we got lawyers. Apple's number of patent applications submitted by Apple each year has risen since then tenfold. It received 4,100 patents total since 2000.
Well, it sounds like they just basically have the engineers come in and talk to the lawyers, and the lawyers go,
okay.
Yeah, I think we can patent that.
Apple engineers were summoned to monthly invention disclosure sessions where the engineers would tell the lawyers, and the lawyer said whether it could be patented or not. And according to one former Apple lawyer, even when they knew the idea couldn't be patented, they applied anyway. Why not? It's broken. Yeah. It could happen.
Some ideas can be patented. Other ideas can be possibly patented.
Now, here's the point, because there have been some, including a recent government study that said we should just abolish patents. All patents, because it's a broken system, not just software patents. One former Apple executive said, hey, if we can't patent our intellectual property, we should not spend the money to create things like the iPhone. He explained features like slide to unlock took years to perfect, lots of money going into it, and if companies can steal it, then it's not worth it. Remember in 2007 when Steve introduced the iPhone? There's a clip somewhere of this. Maybe you can find it. Where he shows the iPhone and he says,
"We patented."
Yes, yeah. Boy, have we patented it?
Yeah,
I mean that was a public declaration. Stay away from this, boys.
Yeah, so that's what kind of an there's an element to. It was so hard for me to pick a specific side in the patent battles that Apple's been fighting with other companies, because on the one side they're definitely fighting the fight of the angels, because you cannot doubt that Samsung was copying the iPhone for the first couple of generations of the Samsung Galaxy of the handsets. That's just not subject to debate. But on the other hand, to say that they're just defending things that they have invented, things that would not exist on this planet had it not for them, to go out into the wilderness and bring back the lion pelt at great cost to their own lives. Said no, because I would have been a lot happier with Apple's stance if they had simply said, we are fighting the fight of the just. We're fighting good fights. Everything we do regarding our intellectual property is a good, just fight for the right. So if they simply said, this is the world that we live in. If you are the one person in a gunfight without a gun, you die.
That's right.
This is why we have a gun. And I don't think anybody would have really faulted for them for that. But I mean, if any company that's going to say that we invent everything that we use, oh boy, that's a long, long investigation into every single product that they make to say that, no, how about this thing that was on this other product earlier? How about this thing that was on this other product earlier? So,
HB Lefty in our chat room is pointing out that Creative won $100 million in that lawsuit. That's right. Yeah. I forgot that. They did.
And that'll leave a mark.
That's what bit Steve in the butt.
Yeah.
Here's the Steve Jobs quote.
And we have invented a new technology called multi-touch, which is phenomenal. It works like magic. You don't need a stylus. It's far more accurate than any touch display that's ever been shipped. It ignores unintended touches. It's super smart. You can do multi-finger gestures on it. And boy, have we patented it.
It's even on the slide. Patented.
Yeah, right.
By the way, they did not invent multi-touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he said that, I remember watching that going, didn't Microsoft do that?
Yeah. Actually, it was the first time I saw it was a TED Talk. By a Carnegie Mellon scientist, well before the iPhone came out. So
I spent some time trying to figure out whether or not they had actually licensed that technology. I was not able to find evidence of that, but I didn't draw any conclusions whatsoever from it.
My memory, which is always imperfect, as you all know, is that it was not patentable. There was enough prior art in general to multi-touch that no one could claim it.
But he said he patented it anyway, and he didn't?
Well, they did. What they probably patented is things like their implementation of it, ignoring touches, you know, various. I mean, you know, that's right.
There's a great article on The Verge a couple months ago that further pointed out how silly a lot of software patents are. Where, for instance, two point multi-touch pinch to zoom, for instance, which is often erroneously cited as this is something that Apple has patented and they're going to go after anybody who has it. On a surface basis, it might look like two different devices are both using the same pinch to zoom, but they're explaining that their legal experts explaining that the way that Android, for instance, does it, they do it in such a way so that if you, for instance, introduce a third finger, or if you do like they've introduced a really weird and subtle and completely trivially easy to miss modification of it that renders this thing as a unique expression of multi-touch as opposed to a copy of simple pinch to zoom, which I think anybody would agree is just like trying to patent double clicking.
Right.
So it just goes to show that if you've got enough money, if you've got enough horsepower, if you've got enough cannon power, you can get around pretty much any patent that you think that your product is going to violate. And if you do have more firepower than the person that you think is a threat to you, that threat to you is kind of not a threat to you anymore. It's a toast.
Well, unless you're Samsung. I mean, it's, right. It's turned out that...
Well, you could bet Samsung's doing the same thing.
Well, yeah,
why didn't Samsung make any kind of an effort, though, to make things at least look slightly different? I mean, the thing that makes me crazy is when I look at a Galaxy S3 and the telephone is a white phone at an angle on a green square. You know, copy everything else, but you couldn't even make that look different. Why? Like, it couldn't even be this way instead of that way or on a blue background or the flower for the photos. You know, why didn't they make any effort at all?
I think that the part of the argument kind of falls apart when you say, well, you're not allowed to have a daisy. You know, it looks completely different from the daisy icon in the Photos app, but you're not. We own daisies. I say, well, if we're gonna talk about like ripoffs in the Galaxy 3, just hold down the home button on the Galaxy 3 and see what happens. You see something that looks like Siri with a slight like a mall cosmetic store makeover.
And I think this was
exactly the same way. It's like, oh, Samsung, you're making it so hard for me to defend you in any way, shape, or form. Just knock it off. You make a great product.
Well, they do now. They do now. I think it was in the early days, right? I mean, now there's clear distinction between the Galaxy Note and the iPhone 5.
Well, but the S3 doesn't look much different in the interface.
No, the I think the interface is unique. There are some discrete elements that are, again, like Siri, which are clear knockoffs. I'm not going to complain about you. How innovative do you have to be to communicate, here is a phone icon for this thing? But the shape is different. But when you compare it to like the original Galaxy, and I have one in my library in my office, you put them next to each other and, oh, man, outside of the Samsung logo on the face of it, you could easily mistake one for the other. It's hard not to make the argument that they were trying to confuse people into thinking that their product was actually an iPhone. I don't think I can point to any Android phones being made by a major manufacturer in 2012 that could be confused with an iPhone, or which make me think that this company is trying to create a knockoff of the iPhone.
I hope we're at the end of these patent wars, but boy, we do have to fix this system. It's such a sucky system.
Well, I think that this is going to continue until the laws are changed. I think that that's inevitable. Yeah. Until things are changed, I don't think there's any way to avoid it, because I think that...
It's just terrible.
I think there's a certain level of self-defense. There's a certain level of...
All I'm offended by are when it's being used like as an aggressive weapon. I know that this could never happen, but it would be great if it were even remotely possible for a maker to say, here is our new phone. We believe that we didn't try to rip off your patents, but doing a patent search, here are some broad things that our device could be said to copy yours. We've looked at your device and we have patents that seem to cover. Let's just put poker chips in front of each other and keep swapping chips. Maybe your stack will be a little bit higher than ours at the end of this discussion, but we'll figure out how much per unit that we need to give each other to release this product without having to say that we have to pull this off the market, because unfortunately there is an LED that actually has color in it. And unfortunately, because Hitachi patented the idea of communicating the charge state of a device via a colored LED, with this banned from eight countries, like that's just Bush League, man. That's not what a great company does.
But I think that the you know, Apple's complaint is not with Samsung. It's with Google. So Apple, you know, has made it clear that they're going to use every opportunity they can to pound any Android developer that they can. We thought that might change.
It's a lot easier to sue Samsung than it was to sue.
They're more exposed. They copied everything.
Right.
I don't think it's necessarily true that they're going to pound any Android developer. I do think that they have. I think that they do have sort of a series of barricades that a company has to go through before they wind up in court and wind up seeking an injunction. So I think that if Apple really wanted to shut down Android, they could do it a lot more effectively if they were being a lot more aggressive than they're being right now. Which is not to say that I think that everything that they're doing, their legal team is doing, is hunky dory. But it serves to reason that they're not necessarily being patent bullies and they're not being patent trolls.
Well, I think that they're making an example of Samsung because it was the most exposed. But they are. I definitely think they're changing the entire path of Android development. I think that they're making sure that everyone has to think about this. So instead of just having to think about producing a great product, everybody has to think about how long will this end up in court, you know, and how close are we getting to what Apple's doing. And I think that Apple, you know, by showing that they're not going to back down, by showing that they're going to push on this, it makes everybody have to do that extra level of work, which, you know, gives Apple a competitive advantage, which is why I think they're going to continue to do it.
I don't know.
Would you stay at Apple if they offered you $2 million a month? $500,000 a week, $100,000 a day. Would you stay at Apple?
Yes. I'd love to say my requirement wouldn't be nearly that rich.
Remember that Bob Mansfield, in fact, we did a whole bit on it, was retiring. Bob is the guy who was responsible for production. He was that blue collar guy, the head of hardware engineering, retiring after 13 years with the company. In August, the company announced Mansfield will stay to work on future products and now will be reporting directly to the CEO. Well, it turns out, according to Bloomberg Businessweek, that... I hear that
in my head every time I read
it. I know. I've ruined it for you, haven't I? Bloomberg Businessweek, that in order to keep Bob Mansfield working for Apple, they offered him $2 million, not a year, a month. That's NBA money.
How long does he have to stay to get
that? Ah, that's a good question. And I don't even know how they found out this.
3 months? I got $6 million. I'm out of here. Can you do that?
No, I would imagine it's a longer contract than that.
And also, were they paying him like $2 an hour above minimum wage before this offer? I'm wondering what we're not hearing about this offer. What was it that made him want to not continue? If he wanted to leave Apple at that point, and if it were really the raise that actually made him stay, because there's something.
I don't know. Look at this smile. That's a happy man.
This is what it's like. Drew, you know, I love one of the reasons why I love Drew Carey is that he's very upfront about some of the reasons why he does things. And he puts the reason why he took the job of The Price is Right is because he wanted to buy part ownership in an LA soccer team. this is your soccer team money.
That soccer team money is right.
And so there's an interview with him, like I was listening to last week or the week before, where he's talking about, you know, the possibility of him returning to like a prime time, like a sitcom series. He said, if I could get money for an FA Cup team, then yes, I would do it. So unless this guy like wants a part ownership of like an AL American League baseball team,
he could buy Arsenal. Are you kidding? This guy's got money now. That's serious money.
There's something profoundly bent about a guy who already has millions and millions and millions of dollars, who could be swayed by getting $20 million instead of $15 or $10 million dollars a year. So I think I when I read that story, I'm like, I wonder what else there was. What else is going on in his life? What his goals and priorities are?
Well, I think also they said it's valued. It's not $2 million in cash. It was cash and stock. And so we don't know what kind of cross-section that is and how much stock they're getting and how much, what the calculation is.
It's Apple stock. Jeez, I mean.
Better than cash.
Really?
Better than cash.
I tell you what. I wanted to buy my own Amco station, and now I got it. AAMCO.
I was thinking of investing in gold for security.
This lovely, lovely man, Leo.
I don't know.
From everything I've heard, he's a lovely, lovely human being. But it's like you got him like as Archie Bunker every single time. I don't know why.
He's just blue collar Bob. That's just he's there's something about him. I love him. No, this is done with love. I am not mocking him. I am saying how much I like this guy. In the land where nobody has collars and everybody's wearing black jeans, this is a guy, this is a real guy, this is a real man here. This is a guy who knows how to fix stuff, and that's exactly why they could not let him go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the issue.
He said, you know, well, you're having trouble with the heat. Let me just get my wrench here. I just bang on that pipe, and it's all fixed. They don't let this guy go. So now he's Schneider.
he's gone from Archie Bunker to Schneider.
He's got the keychain.
I think in a more positive way, we could see, you're suggesting that election pollsters would rate him highly as the Apple senior executive that people would most like to have a beer with.
This ain't no Chablis drinker here. This is a guy. This is a guy who drinks Schlitz. I mean, this is a real man. I love Bob Mansfield. I would like to sit down right now. I would like to have Bob right here. I think we have to have an open invitation
for Bob Mansfield.
Bob, anytime you want to come on the show. Yeah. I can't offer you $100,000 a day, but we'd love to see you. I'll buy you a beer.
So does Bob's like assistant like talk like Edith Bunker?
Bob, it's that Tim Cook again. I told you.
He's gonna come on and go, hey.
I know he probably doesn't talk like that. Actually, we know what he talks like because there's videos of him. I just haven't paid any attention to him. I've created in my mind something completely unique.
Lovely man.
I love Bob Mansfield. You know what? I remember when we were doing the screensavers and we got a new program director at Tech TV and he pulled me in and I was actually kind of insulted by this. He said, now, Leo, you know, you're the intellectual and Patrick Norton, he's for the lunchbox set. And I said, what? He's for the lunchbox set. He appeals to the lunchbox set. And this is Bob Mansfield is for the lunchbox set. Look at him. I bet you he has a thermos fill with black coffee, and he's got a ham sandwich on white bread.
The show that I'm glad, you know, there are times in the show where I'm glad that I'm off on a little screen to the right. And I'm 3,000 miles away.
I'm sorry, and I'm saying with absolute affection, I'm thrilled that he stuck around. I'm not suggesting you're applying
something else. I'm just saying I'm glad that here I am in my little box.
But I think that one. There he is.
Now let's hear him. Let's hear him.
We knew we wanted to bring. What LTE does is it enables really fast
downloads. Wow, he sounds like a professional announcer.
Cellular network. You'll notice a big difference compared to previous network connectivity. In fact, LTE can actually be faster than the average.
Well, I can take it all back. This guy's clearly Harvard educated.
Of designing LTE into a world
University of Texas
uses two UT? Chips.
All right.
New iPhone, both voice and data technology are combined onto a single chip.
I don't care. I love the man.
Real
even if he talks like a normal human, not Cliff Clavin.
We're also introducing.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's a good. He's a good looking fella, though. He looks a little like Curly.
So he's making that kind of money, and he's only 50. He's like 50
years old. You know, here's my invitation of Leo Laporte. Like, God, I keep digging and digging, but I can't get any lower.
Let me put some more dirt in there. Okay, let's double it back out again.
I've got to dig myself into a deeper and deeper hole. There you go. I just broke through the. Okay, now we're keep on digging.
How does you know this foot tastes awfully good? That's not my foot. I have Chad under the table, so in case I want to ever want to do that gag.
That's incredible flexibility.
I'm not that flexible. I did unplug myself, however. Now all the air is going to go out of me.
In more ways than one.
Wait a minute.
Why is it Leo doesn't get invited to Apple events?
Yeah.
What exactly causes that? I don't know.
That's not why. They would invite me if they thought I wanted to go. They like me.
Sure they do.
They used to really like me. I used to really be on good terms with them. I don't know what happened. But I'm not saying this in a negative. I look like Bob. If I didn't have any hair, I'm Bob Mansfield.
Well, I think that the one thing that the whole Bob Mansfield thing, whatever it actually
is. It's good they brought him back.
What it shows you, though, is just in case you thought that Steve Jobs was the only one that was making everything work, evidently there are people at Apple that disagree. You know, because they decided that that was one of the people that
made it. And furthermore, I mean, the story is that the people who did, that they brought in another guy, I won't say that guy's name, but that they said, no, bring back Bob. We love Bob.
Right.
So the employees demanded it. They said we can't go on without Bob.
There was an insurrection,
and I think you can thank Bob for this. Apple has now started shipping its 30-bit adapter. Thank God.
My doorbell just rang. I bet that's what.
Go
it was.
See it. Go see. Joe, go check.
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. Something just got delivered.
Yeah. The first wave of new Lightning to 30-pin adapters are now shipping. Several readers in Australia told Mac Rumors their orders are in transit. And one said October 9th delivery. That's today. Ooh. Let's see if Allison got her 30-pin connector. Because I need a bunch of them.
The first wave of 30-pin connectors just in time for the fourth waves of complaints about having to spend $30 to make a speaker dock work again.
Well, you know, at this point, I'll pay anything. I already spent, I've spent almost $200 on adapters for the 9-pin.
Yeah. I think people will forget about the complaints after 1 month after the Visa bill arrives. I think they'll forget about the
You know what's really funny? Now I'm kind of mad that I have to use a 30-pin adapter for my iPad. It's flipped completely around.
You're like,
was it Allison?
Clearly, it was far too valuable to actually leave there.
I hate that.
There is like one UPS driver that hates me because I order so much stuff from Amazon and all of it just gets, they drop off all kinds of stuff in front of my house. And
you got to make friends with them.
And then there's like the one.
But you live on a busy street and they're trying to protect you.
Yeah, but
you.
There's so much stuff that they leave out there and there's plenty of people at the house and it's just that the doorbell doesn't work. And anyway,
that happened to me yesterday. Second notice. I hate second notices because that means if I miss it the third time, it goes back.
I ordered
four more Sonos speakers so I can have music in my entire house. And I was so frustrated because I was downstairs. I just didn't hear him, right? Mm-hmm. And I go upstairs and I see that thing. So
it's possible it was all the wine I ordered when I was in Sonoma County.
Oh, that's what it was. Wine you have to sign for. An adult has to sign for.
Oh, that'd be funnier to pretend it was the adapter, though.
So it says on there, look, see, Alice, it says, schedule deliveries anytime you want. So UPS.com/join. So I thought, I can schedule.
Work?
You have to pay.
You're kidding.
Not only do you have to pay, you have to join. There's some special level. It's like gold level support. And then it's $5 a delivery. So I paid $5 to have it delivered here. $5 it cost me.
Yeah, and the UPS store in Petaluma is open till from like noon to 3.
Yeah, I should have just gone there.
Eastern time.
Every time that happens, I just go, I cannot believe Amazon left FedEx. I cannot believe Amazon left FedEx. So.
Speaking of which, I got a call from Comcast, the executive office yesterday. Because I tweeted, because the Comcast installer, it was a joke tweet. It wasn't a complaint. I said, the Comcast installer looked at the install and said, oh, we're going to be here a long time. So I tweeted that. And apparently, I don't know. It's called
Radian 6.
If you
have you heard of Radian 6?
What's that?
That's one of all these companies. So, if you know that a company is using Radian 6 and you have a large following, you know that you have leverage. So what Radian 6 is it's a product that basically lets them scan all of the they can
that's
basically
what's happening, I didn't see every social network
if their name comes up, but not only does it show that you complain about it, it shows basically their own internal version of clout, right? Which is they're like, this person did this and yeah, a lot of people are following them, you might want to actually respond to that quickly. You know, and they respond to a lot of them, but definitely Radian 6 has changed
FedEx, I wasn't really nice like, oh, thank you, Comcast. The executive called me, so I started to tell her all the things wrong with Comcast. I said, look, you guys are a monopoly. You run like a monopoly. I ticked them off. And apparently I ticked her off because I think their job is to kind of say, you know, we're sorry. We'll make sure we'll take care of this. What can we do? Instead, it was more like, you better stop tweeting or we're going to break your legs. I mean, it was like she was upset. And then, I had signed up for two DVRs. He had one with me, and it didn't have HDMI on it. It was component. And she says, oh, yeah, we don't do HDMI. We only do component.
I said, what?
I said, what? I said, wait, hey, I got to hang up. I got to tweet this.
Well, I hate it when they call you and you think that their objective is going to be to try to help you, but their objective is to try to convince you that you're wrong about being upset about it.
I think that's what it was. I mean, first I thought, oh, this is nice. They're going to try to take care of me. And she was saying things like, you know, you're only paying $39. You got to, it was like, why are you upset? Right. Not what can we do to make it better?
Because I'll tell you the opposite experience is I complained about something being stuck in customs with FedEx. You know, like, And it had been stuck there for like a week or whatever.
That's FedEx not FedEx's, Paul.
No, it was. So anyway, it was because of the way FedEx was doing something. Mm-hmm. I complained. I tweeted it, and it was handled in like 24 hours. It was like, I mean, FedEx was just like, how can we help you? And bam, it was done.
Well, you know, and that was my second tweet is, how do people get customer service from these companies if you're not a Twitter user?
Yeah.
Apparently, this is how you get, how customer service is handled. You have to have 500,000 followers and be a Twitter user.
So work hard. Start tweeting.
Start tweeting. Yes. Build that cloud score. You saw... Cloud's, I think cloud is so silly. What's your cloud score?
Not very high. I built it up. So there was one point where I had built, because I got really focused on how, I figured out how to manipulate cloud.
Yeah.
And
we're talking KLOUT.com.
Yeah, so I figured it out. Like, you know, it's.
Are you a cloosh bag?
No, this was a year ago. A year ago, I was very curious about the algorithm that they were using. So I figured out that if I tweeted and I got it retweeted, and if I got it, you know, like I started thinking of very interesting things to tweet, and I started thinking about things to put on G Plus, and I made sure I was registered to all the things, and I did different things on different ones and everything else. And I got my cloud score. I got it up to yours.
Wow.
like it was like, that's like good. It was just up there. But I would have had to keep on doing that to keep it there. You know, you're not doing anything.
You think I just kind of sit around? You don't get a cloud score 85 just for sitting around.
But I have to
admit, you gotta work for it there.
But I have to admit that I was like, anybody who thinks my cloud is the same as Leo's, I'm not following them anymore.
By the way.
I was just like, this is not
worth
it.
And these are the kinds of crap.
But now yours is way higher.
This
than
is
mine.
The kind of crap you get from cloud. Congratulations, your search volume on Bing has increased over the last 90 days.
Right.
Bing, I mean, obviously Microsoft bought that, right? That's an ad.
Right.
So anyway.
So mine's like 10, I think.
So there is a professor at some university who's grading his students based on their cloud score.
Is that like social media marketing or something?
Yeah. It's like, well, if you can, instead of doing the work in the class, just get your cloud score up. In fact, the New Yorker had a.
It can be done.
The New Yorker had a comic based on it.
The thing is, you have to add followers. You cannot. If you start following more people, it affects. Well, this is what it used to do anyway. It would affect your cloud.
No one knows how it works, if you, though, right?
Well, that's what I was curious about, and so I found that if I did these things, it would just. I was like gaining like a point a day, you know.
I don't know why we're giving them any. Wait a minute. Imagine airport security only 5 minutes long.
Clears back. Yeah.
I was a clear member. I don't know.
Yeah, once you're gold, it doesn't matter.
So we're really deviating here. Oh, the point was also
Rad Hole. Do we still have that music?
Yeah. Should I play the Rad Hole music? I got it. That's what's in this jingle folder you noted earlier. And there's an employer who is checking people's rat holes. I mean, cloud scores before they. Oh, you didn't have my sound up, eh? Oh, see, what if I suddenly play a Rat Hole?
Rat Hole.
That's we owe that to Merlin Mann. You know?
Yes.
The king of the rat holes.
Yes.
He's got a whole podcast of rat holes.
The show has become so much more focused since Merlin's been gone, as you can see.
We also have a long rat hole. You want to hear the long one?
This is becoming like the Mandelbrot set of distractions. Now we're having a rat hole about the rat hole.
Yeah, baby. Well, you know what made me think of that? We were watching the Steve Jobs iPhone announcement in 2007, and I was remembering sitting in the audience at that, and that was Scott. Was it you next on my left and Scott Bourne on my right? And boy, Scott was so excited. It was cute. He was so cute. He was so excited about that iPhone. I wonder if he still loves it. We should get Scott on the show. He's been so busy with his photography and stuff, but
he left us behind.
He left us. Merlin left us too. I don't know.
Eventually, they realize this is.
We have a pro forma every like 3 months. We ping Merlin, right?
Right. Okay. And he goes no.
He doesn't even go. we don't.
He's like
Mr. Inbox Zero ignores us. We're at the bottom of zero. But maybe this will. Prompt him to do it. Maybe you could all tweet Merlin and Scott, say, be on Mac.
I've got some Mac news. I got a rumor.
Well, let me preface this, because I've gotten two calls in the last 2 weeks on the radio show from people saying, I want to buy an iMac, but I hear there's a new one coming.
Well, the rumor is that the Mac Minis are constrained. The supply of the Mac Minis are constrained.
Like if you try to order
one, I'm way more excited about the Mac Minis than I am about the iMac. I'm done. I'm like post-iMac. And I've bought, I mean, you know, in the last 2 years, we've bought maybe 40 of them, of the iMacs, and we're done with them.
Why?
Because the Mac Minis are so much more flexible. You know, like the only problem with the Mac Mini is it doesn't have a fast enough GPU. So you end up with, you know.
How do you solve that?
You don't really. I mean, you can, if you really want to get crazy about it now, you can theoretically, we think you can plug in a Sonnet box with a NVIDIA card on the outside or something like that. But that's the only problem for us. But if you're doing like, if you, like, I was at a large broadcast organization and they were doing, I was asking them how they handle their 3D renders, like thinking that they had some blades or whatever. He goes, yeah, we got 10 Mac Minis back there.
Really?
Running Cinema.
Cluster.
Yeah, they just cluster them all. They're easy. They're disposable. You just throw them back there and just let them render. You know, and so I think that the Mac Mini is, I'm really interested to see whether I become, you know, I kept on asking and asking and hoping that we'd see another Mac Pro, and I think that that's probably not going to happen. Maybe we'd see one, but now I kind of feel like we're kind of over the hump. But I think that the Mac Mini built up, you know, the next level of that, because the Mac Mini servers are pretty, the ones that we buy for the stuff that we do is pretty beefy. I mean, they do a lot of processing.
You know, Mac Rumors has the buyer's guide where they show, you know, based on rumors and speculation, right. We provide no guarantee to its accuracy, they say. You know, the likelihood that we're due, and Mac Mini, iMac, and Mac Pro are all red, you know.
They're like, also listing the Classic. Really?
They're listing
the one's going to update the Classic.
No. So let's just, Mac Mini. Recent rumors, Apple update nearly entire Mac lineup at WWDC in June? No. No. Now, their recommendation is don't buy, update soon. The last release was 2011. That's not that long. It's only been a little more than a year. And they base this on the average. Now, the iMac hasn't been updated in 525 days. The last rumor is September 10th. Production of 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro and updated iMacs reportedly ramping up. Haven't heard a word about that either. When would they announce that? If they're going to announce it, it would have to be in the next 30 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about the Retina thing is, do you really?
They're not going to be a Retina iMac. That's too big a screen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care. I have a Retina. Bunch of them, but the only thing that matters to me is that we've got two Thunderbolts and a HDMI out, and that just changes everything as far as using the computer. But I wish I had one more USB, but the actual Retina display, I think we talked about this earlier, I find it a little bit annoying because I feel like everything's sluggish. Like, I feel like it's pushing the processor too hard.
I'm going to buy a 27 inch monitor to hook up to that and see
how that works for you.
Well, I know one thing. The new iPods are here. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Maybe some iPad mini news. And more. Allison is here. Allison Sheridan from NozillaCast. I can't believe I've known you for years. I never put two and two together that NozillaCast was Allison backwards. I'm such an idiot.
Well, not the smartest name I've ever come up with, but, you know.
Well, you don't forget it.
For me.
And
it's
you
got
are going to
in it at least.
You and I are going to both be on the. There's no point in plugging this because I think it's sold out. The Mac Mania cruise in a month.
Actually, I'm not sure it is sold out. Last time I talked to Captain Neil, it wasn't.
Oh,
so it might not be.
Then run right now to insightcruises.com.
Because I need. Go ahead. Sorry.
Do you want to go?
No. I was just saying I need to send you that absurd inflatable lap pillow.
Because I got a long freaking flight to, I got a 14 and a half hour flight coming up.
Well, speaking of Mr. Inbox Zero, I sent you an email a couple weeks ago saying, you know, make sure what address you want me to send it to. And, you know,
oh, I'm sorry.
No reply
I never,
at all.
I don't read my email. What are you Phil crazy? What are you nuts?
I checked into what it cost to fly business class round trip on Qantas.
So did
$19,000 a person.
Yeah.
Miles.
Seriously. You need miles. I don't care if I'm Bob Mansfield, I'm still not paying that kind of
money. I got a good a price, an economy plus on United. I think it was $1,740 round trip.
Oh man, we just did economy plus. It was a lot more than that.
I don't know
it
how.
Was
I don't know
4,
how.
4,000 a piece.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Doing.
But yeah. It has power in the seats.
It's 40,000.
It was 40,000 miles each way to Sydney.
Each way
with United, just from economy, but you have to have the right. You know, code. So
it's ridiculous. So I'm going to just be. I have actually a number of devices, Andy. I've got that pillow that lets me kind of. This is all from the Gizwiz. We do this new feature on the Gizwiz, crap I found on SkyMall. Mm-hmm. And it's fun because I have a ton of crap now. So it's a pillow that you put in. Andy was supposed to use it, but he couldn't have the nerve.
Well, I also had an open seat next to me, and so and when you got an open seat, you want to just sort of like scooch over and just sort of lean against the window, and yeah. I had a good restful night that way. All
right. Well, I got a pillow that I can actually you've inflated. It's about this. It's about a foot and a half tall. You put it on the tray table, and then you sleep leaned over. And then I've ordered from Kickstarter. I don't know if it'll come in time. The ostrich thing that you put over your head and your arms in it. The ostrich pillow, and then I have a head.
So basically, no. you look like a prisoner being transported from Gitmo.
There's only
what you look like.
There's only
yourself there too.
There's only one device you're missing.
What?
A bottle of Maker's Mark. Makes every flight.
Are
so
you allowed
much
to bring that on the plane? You don't have to bring the little.
Technically
minis?
Not.
No, that's what I thought. No. How do you get the liquid? No,
I don't drink on the plane anymore. I don't drink.
Oh,
on
you
the plane.
Buy it at the duty.
You wake up. You wake up all.
Yeah, you know,
messed up. But it does make you sleep better. But once you get there, then
I'm just bringing so heroin. Much. I hear that's good. So, and then I have a. I'm joking, kids. Be cool. Stay in school.
FAA and TSA. He will not be having. You don't need to search that special place when Leo tries to go inside.
Shoot, I didn't think of that.
He's definitely.
I
not
am not.
Heroin.
No, I am not. Of Hello. Course not.
Good doggy. Good doggy.
Oh no! What was I thinking? And then I have a massager that goes over your back, that massages your back. You strap that on.
So
you have anything for your
head,
feet?
And then a head.
Anything for your feet?
Yeah. So because I don't want to get, what is it, phlebitis? What is the thing that you get on airplanes, you know, where you get a stroke and you die? So it's a leg massager that does it with inflatable air. So it inflates it and then it deflates it. And so I put those on.
So TSA, air marshals, don't worry about the guy with the electric device wrapped around his feet and ankles that he's got underneath his pants.
I don't think there should be a penalty for trying to be comfortable.
When you're walking
on
through the airport, you look like King Kong, like...
You know what? I'm liking my chances. I might actually be part of this cruise after all. Get like a last minute call from Captain Neil saying, "Yeah, Leo is still being held."
You know how Australia was founded? It was a prison colony for England. They still have some of those jails left, and I may be visiting one of them.
I'm told that everybody in Australia knows what their heritage is.
Well, wouldn't you be interested? Like, what was your great 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 grandfather transported for?
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't that be interesting?
No, we had friends, and I think we asked, because we were like, it was one of the things, like, we hear that all the Australians, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a settler, she's penal.
It's out in the way. Anyway, I will be there, Don McAllister will be there, Sal Segoyan, who's great. I mean, he is the greatest on Automator and Apple.
Sal is so much fun.
I love Sal, and he just...
I'm terrified to talk to him. He's way too smart.
Oh, no.
The most fun is getting Sal...
Sal like, and just, Naomi.
Yeah, around at
dinner.
We're
going to have such a good time.
At dinner. It's just...
Good. Good.
Such stories. A good time. You're going to love this. So it's not. So it's still available. Absolutely go to Insight Cruises. I had no idea. MacMania 15. Now, it's short notice. November 7th through the 21st. It's next month. It's 2 weeks you'll be gone. Not only are you going to have these lectures as part of MacMania from all of us, I'm giving a lecture on social media for yourself and social media for your business, a lecture on how you could do media, like a new media, and I can't remember something else. Oh, on Mountain Lion. Don does like 32 lectures. They always, poor Don. Allison, doing...
I have to do six 90-minute unique speeches, and I've been writing since March, and I'm freaking out.
But it's going to be, just relax, it's fine. These people love, it's so much fun. You're there with about 150 crazed Mac fanatics, and it's so much fun. And then we're going to go to Bora Bora, Noumea.
That'd be good, though.
Somewhere, like in the...
New Caledonia.
Noumea, Ile de Pin. Iaso Lifu. We're going to see the total eclipse of the sun. Bonnie Tyler will be performing.
Is she?
No.
I was like, really?
And awesome. And Hamilton.
Sorry, I'm Hamilton. A little excited.
Hamilton. I there's a one of the expeditions or excursions is in Brisbane. You could pat a koala and box with a kangaroo. I'm going to do that.
Are you going to box with a kangaroo? You know, watch for the uppercut. That's all I'm saying.
I know they're tough.
Do the kangaroos particularly want to be boxed with by tourists?
Apparently, they don't mind.
I bet you they would love to kick the crap out of a tourist. I bet you kangaroos just talk about it.
You walk in, they just go boom.
I spanked him.
I'll be honest.
They do have those raptor-like claws on the feet.
If they didn't want to be there, I don't think they'd have to be.
You're right. They shouldn't have signed the release if they didn't want to take the risk of getting in the squared circle with Mr. Leo Laporte. They know it's going to happen.
We're going to...
El Furioso Diablo is entering the ring, kangaroos. You're going to use those Leche moves on, you know.
Anyway, I didn't realize, Allison, there were still rooms, because this one, Cat Neal said it was filling up pretty fast, but this is good. So Allison and I will be on it, along with some others, including Don.
Let me add my own endorsement. Every cruise I've gone on, even as a guy who has to prepare those like 6 90-minute unique speeches I've never given before, so I got to write all this stuff and present all this stuff, I consider it a huge, huge blast. Enjoyed hanging out with everybody that was there. I usually learn at least as much as I dispense in terms of education, and just great, great stuff.
We're going to take a quick break, come back with more. Like I said, the new iPods. That's what I thought maybe you got, Allison. I ordered one. We'll have to check the front desk, see if it's arrived. Apparently, they're coming out. But first, a word from Squarespace. Everything you need to create an exceptional website. The brand new Squarespace is out, Squarespace 6. So now you get not only the best hosting anywhere, hosting that just you cannot bring to its knees. I mean, it is strong, robust, but also the best software running on top of it for maximum security. I love Squarespace. I know you will, too, and I want you to give it a try by just going to squarespace.com. 2 weeks free when you click that yellow Get Started button. You'll see the mobile responsive designs that automatically size your site to the right screen. Everything's adjusted automatically, so you don't have to even think about having a mobile site. It's all perfect. The templates are gorgeous. If you're a photographer, an artist, if you need a portfolio site, this is really the place you should be going, especially when you take a look at the pricing. We're talking about hosting and software. They'll even, if you sign up for a year plan, which is your best deal, throw in the domain name registration. They'll hook it up so it automatically goes to your Squarespace site. For $16 a month when you buy a year's plan, you get unlimited pages, unlimited galleries, unlimited blogs, bandwidth, unlimited storage, unlimited. I mean, this just is fantastic.
I mean, if you've been putting off doing this, I mean, putting off making a website because it was too complicated, I mean, this is the solution. I mean, it really is.
You know who? It's funny. We had Ryan Block on a couple of weeks ago. Ryan and Veronica Belmont got married. Mm-hmm. And they used, I don't know, they had like, there's some sort of service for wedding sites. They said it was awful. So they said, we're just going to do a Squarespace site. They quickly set up a Blockmont Squarespace site. And so that's what it's really good for. Even the two-week deal, if you've got, you know, an event coming up, if you've got a friend with a newborn, what a great gift. Create a site for them. Send it to them. Squarespace.com. Now, if you do decide to buy, make sure you use the offer code MacBreak10, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. And if it's a yearly purchase, which I would recommend, you're going to save the maximum amount of money, significant savings. Squarespace.com. Offer code MacBreak10. I wish I could hold it up right now, but the new iPods are apparently shipping. They said October sometime. I don't know anybody. Has anybody received one yet? No. Are we excited about them?
I have an iPhone.
Hmm.
I'm going to really miss the clip. You know, I wear this thing everywhere. I wear it all the time. It just everywhere I go.
That's the old, that's the previous Nano.
Yeah. And not having a clip. I really, really like the clip. I don't want it some big clunky thing that holds it, that gives it a clip.
Either. Yeah. Yeah, I also love the flexibility of that design. I admit that I wasn't a big fan of it, but what I appreciated most about it is that you could use it in so many different ways. And I was so looking forward to the idea of a Nano with this exact same design, which had Bluetooth in it, that could support some sort of communication between the iPhone and the thing. Because I do have a watch brand for the Nano, but I rarely wound up using it because I can't remember to charge my watch once a week.
Big wire coming out of it. You know, that's not really going to work so good.
The big wire I would have liked. I mean, Casio, I think, was it Sharp or Casio? I think it was Sharp, in the 80s, made a TV wristwatch where it was just like an LCD. All they did was take like a micro LCD screen, and you had to like carry the tuner pack like inside your jacket pocket. And I liked the fact that there was a wire, hidden wire running up your arm there. That was exactly in the line with me as a consumer. I want wires running places. I'm curious to see how much I like the new Nano, because as you can see, you know, fitness is my life.
And the placement of the Nano has always been people who are using them in gyms. People are using it on walks and runs. I've been told that those kind of people actually prefer the Shuffle because it's so tiny. But we'll find out.
I was really hoping we'd get iOS 6 on it and not change the form factor because I really want to have Downcast on there. I'm tired of syncing with iTunes. That's over.
And I'm tired of Apple's iPodcast app too, by the way. That's a
piece of junk.
So disappointing. That could have been such a help to us.
And I like listening to Don McAllister talk about it where, you know, he's such a sweetheart and he's like, well, you know, it's okay, but it could have done more.
It's okay. iPad mini rumors. I'm starting to wonder if this event's going to happen. We would see an invitation on the 10th tomorrow, right? If it's the 17th,
that's the either rumor. Today or tomorrow. If it were the 17th, yes.
So we're waiting. Nobody's received them. And, you know, of course, as soon as
I haven't gotten one.
Good luck. You know who you're sitting next to, don't you? I'm Apple apostate number one. I gotta understand, a company hates me more if I were a fan than if I never were a fan, right? It's like if Walt Mossberg turned against Apple, he would be.
It's not that you weren't a fan, it's just that you Skyped with a laptop.
I don't think that, I swear to God, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
I don't know. You definitely got the Steve Stink Eye on that one. That's all I'm saying.
That's my claim to fame. Who is that guy?
I've gotten a stink email from Steve, but not
Steve
a stink eye.
Stink eye. That belongs on a T-shirt. The next T-shirt design should be Leo Laporte, Steve Stink Eye.
I think I captured it, actually. I think I got it on the feed.
I don't know what it was about the way you looked when you were doing it, too. It's emblazoned in my memory as you're sitting there going, it's looking like so dorky with this big laptop.
Yeah, how could you hate
me? Not that you ever looked dorky.
Yeah, how could you hate me? Anyway, iPad mini, if we're going to see it, we're going to see it soon. There are more leaks. This to me does not, I don't know. This is Business Insider. Steve Kovach says the most convincing iPad mini leaked photos we've seen yet. Are you convinced? Not me. This is an easy Photoshop. If you ask me,
I don't know. What's
the mini for?
What? What's
who
it for?
The mini for? Who is it for?
It's for all the people that are buying the, Nexus 7.
Nexus 7. Nexus 7. Yeah. Well, but are they buying the Nexus 7 because it's $200 or because it's 7 inches?
Well, so. A little bit of both. I mean, both. I have to admit that I really thought about it for a while, and I think I would actually use a mini more than my iPad because I think that my iPad is too close to my 11-inch. So I have a tendency when I need to have a little bit more, I realize that I would probably carry around a mini a lot more than the iPad.
See, I'm wondering whether it's as a female persuasion person, I carry my iPad in my purse, so it's no problem. But if I didn't have a purse, I think I probably wouldn't carry it around at all.
Oh, but so a mini would fit in the purse better, and then you'd have more room for cosmetics.
Yeah. You could use a smaller purse.
Yeah, what are those? I got my purse at REI, I should say that, too.
Good for you. I like it.
Yeah, and education, this is Web 3628 pointed out, education. And I think education is going to be a more cost-effective iPad. I mean, I think Apple still, their main competitor as we look into the not-too-distant future is not necessarily Nexus 7 or anything else. It is the OLPC and everything else. I mean, our education system, the world's education systems, are about to get a huge overhaul. And
so that could be a big boost to iBooks Author then?
Yeah. Well, and just using a platform that is easy to manage. I think that the argument that Apple's making to a lot of schools that we've heard is that it's just a lot easier. It's going to be a lot easier for you to manage and secure your tablets if you use iOS as opposed to Android. You know, from kids who might know more about the OS than you do. that's one of the big issues.
I also think that they're looking at when Apple executives fly on airplanes, they see that they only see two tablets in people's hands. They see iPads and they see Kindles. And they have to think that there are a lot of people that have looked at the iPad. They're aware of the iPad. They don't want to spend, either they don't want to spend $399 or they don't want something that's 10 inches across, or they don't want something that, believe it or not, is as complicated as the iPad. That's another case of seeing money that they're leaving on the table. That if they can find a way to put an iPad in the hands of those people who ordinarily are going to be one clicking $119 Kindle Paperwhite, that is a way to extend the brand to tens of millions of people if they're not reaching right now. I do think there's a serious divide between there are people who will never buy an iPad Doesn't matter how good it is. Doesn't matter how much they improve the operating system. They are just no way, no how interested in a 10-inch tablet. They just don't have a spot in their life for that. But they certainly do have a spot in their life for a book reader. They certainly do have a spot for something that can Facebook or something that can play games and play movies. And that's what the iPad Mini will be targeted towards.
John Pachowski, writing in the All Things D, and he's pretty well connected, says the new iPad Mini could outshine the new iPad. Chatter from Apple's overseas supply chain indicates the company has not been cutting corners in efforts to keep the iPad's diminutive sibling price competitive with what will surely be its two greatest rivals, Google's Nexus 7 and Amazon's Kindle's Fire. Topeka analyst Brian White, who says he's been traveling around Taipei talking to component suppliers, says Apple did not skimp on the aesthetics. In fact, we believe the iPad Mini could outshine it in terms of how the device feels. Wall Street Journal reports that that some Asian component partners have received orders to make more than 10 million for the fourth quarter. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. 10 million is the new 5 million.
which was the new million.
New million, exactly. Pretty interesting. We'll hear soon, of course. You know what? When we'll hear? Right after this show's over.
Of course.
Which is any minute now. Let me, before we end this show, talk about Citrix, because I should have talked about them sooner, and I apologize. But, you know, it's been exciting with all the rat holes. I've been distracted a little bit by my pick of the week as well, as you probably noticed.
You had to get your... I was going to say something.
Ixnay on the Orske. If folks, have you tried GoToMeeting? When you meet, you know, people like Alex, really, Alex is a new normal. They're like gadflies. They're never in the same place 2 days in a row. So how do you meet with them? And meetings, I know nobody likes meetings, but meetings are exactly what keeps people on the same page. We did away with meetings for a year, and the whole place fell apart. So we started having meetings again, staff meetings. You got to communicate. You got to keep people in touch. You got to train. You got to collaborate. And goodness knows, if you're in sales in any way, you got to pitch. The best way to do it, GoToMeeting, because it doesn't matter where your clients or colleagues are. If they've got an iPad or an iPhone, they can join a meeting. You can start a meeting from your Mac or your PC. Everybody's on the same page because everybody's looking at your screen. They can even share their screen with you. And here's the best part. With the new HD Faces feature, if your Mac or PC has a camera, even the iPad camera, you can see them, they can see you. And that is so important for building rapport, building trust, communicating, body language, all of that stuff. You got to see it. HD Faces is so beautiful, so crystal clear. It's integrated beautifully in with the screen sharing. You can move people around and size them and stuff, so it always fits the screen. Works even on the iPad. And I have to say, that is a particularly big selling point for me because that's a lightweight way I can be anywhere, even the backyard, and still attend a meeting. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free right now with the offer code MacBreak. Maybe this beautiful woman will join your meeting. Unannounced. She'll just show up and you'll say, "You're the woman from the video." And she'll say, "Yes. And I'm here to give you $1 million. Or not. Actually, more likely not. I'm not promising anything. I'm just saying. Go to meeting, but it could happen. GoToMeeting.com. The promo code is MacBreak. Try it free today. I don't know if it would work. I think it would work on an iPad Mini, kind of out of the box, because the rumors we're hearing about the iPad Mini, it's essentially an iPad 2, 1024 by 768 in a smaller form factor. So that means all of the software that works on an iPad 2 should still work.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Wouldn't it be funny if they just don't even do it?
I don't think they can.
It's completely
that
bogus.
That would affect the stock at this point. I mean, you know, but I think that...
Shouldn't, but you're right. Because the rumors.
And I have to admit, you know, we had some requests within the company to buy some more iPads for management, you know, because a lot
so
of
So you're waiting because do you think it'll waiting. Be $200? No, it won't.
I think it'll be $300.
$350.
If I was going to guess.
$350.
I'd say $300.
What do you say?
$300 for the base model. $299.
I think that if the cheapest Mac Mini is $300, that would sort of trigger my what was the point then reflex.
It needs to be cheaper.
I think that if Apple does it for $200, they kill Android 7-inch tablets. And they will leave some wiggle room for a device like the Kindle Fire HD because it's much, much simpler to use. if it's $250, there's room for them to operate, but they still have to, but the, these other competitors have to say, well, why wouldn't I spend $50 more to have the best tablet style that's on the market today? If it's $300, that might as well be $3,000 for the people who have not bought an iPad yet. Because why would they spend, Apple then is on the defensive, have to say, why is this worth $100 more than these two other tablets that cost $100 less? And from the perspective of somebody who's interested in a 7-inch tablet would say, well, but this does, this $200 device does everything I want the $300 device to do, but I have $100 more in my pocket. So I would be shocked if it were $300.
You think they can make it at $200? They could actually create a $200 iPad?
Well, and make the giant profits that they like to make, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't seen them purposely go in and try to match the low end. Like
ever.
When the MP3 players came out, and they were vastly cheaper than the iPods, and yet the iPods continued to sell better. One thing I was thinking about was they tend to do a 100, 100, 100 kind of a thing, right? If they come in at 300, you'll have a $300, a $400, a $500, $600, $700, right? You've got this full every $100 deal.
Well, I do think that $199 is scorched earth. I mean, I think that you know, because I think Apple's big issue is, you know, I don't remember what the exact stat was in our notes, but it was something between, I think it was, they used to be 82%. Last year, they were 82% of the market, and now they're 51% of the market or 52% of the market. So obviously, they need to do something decisive there to not lose that market share. And I think that, you know, $199 is scorched earth. I mean, I think it becomes very, very difficult for the Android market to recover that. My guess is $249 or $299 is where they're going to land. I don't think they're going to go for the killing blow because Apple tends to be just short of that.
Well, I hope we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? This news came out today. I thought it was interesting. The U.S. Congress has been working on a study of Huawei, the Chinese phone company, and ZTE, which is another Chinese phone company, and have made the recommendation that federal government employees do not buy gear phones, particularly from Huawei, because of their ties to the Chinese military. They're afraid that they could have, as a security threat. U.S. bipartisan report from the House accused two of China's largest telecom companies of being arms of the government that had stolen intellectual property from American companies and could potentially be spying on Americans. And I got to point out that every phone we use, including the iPhones and iPads, are made in China.
Although, now there isn't the talk about Foxconn having another plant in Brazil. Is that correct?
They are. They're going to build a Brazilian plant. And that's because Brazil charges such high tariffs.
So this is mostly just to supply the Brazilian market.
I think it's to supply the Brazilian market.
It's also very hard to mail anything to Brazil, just in case you're wondering. getting gear to Brazil.
You know, this isn't specifically an Apple story, but I think interesting. Huawei makes a lot of low-end consumer electronics gear, and I don't think we'd really thought about this. And the real concern also is it's not merely cyber warfare, but it's IP theft, that they would use it to, right, like, listen in on company meetings and stuff. Wow. Series strange movie reviews.
So these are the best movie reviews ever.
So this is a Siri Easter egg. Should we try it?
Try it.
Do I have a I should have checked. Do I have an input for this?
Yeah, it's below the table. It's kind of hanging down next to Alex, in between you and Alex.
I see it, yeah. Oh, look it. Wow.
Wow, these guys think of everything.
This is magic. All right, so what should I ask Siri?
What it thinks of Looper.
You know what?
I tried that one. Looper didn't work.
Oh. All right, well, let's ask her about the Wizard of Oz.
It didn't do anything funny. It worked.
So what do you do? How do you ask? What should I say? Siri, what is your review of?
What is this movie about? Give it a movie name.
What is this movie about? The Wizard of Oz.
I'm not getting it.
Looking up Wizard of Oz. Oh, I found a few movies matching Wizard of Oz.
So do I have to get a how do I get a review?
I did just the fun ones that were listed there.
Okay.
You just say, you know, what's the plot of?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here we go. Tell me about Inception.
Searching the web for Inception.
Maybe they fixed it. That would be a bummer. What's the syntax?
Try what is 2001 about?
Say Space Odyssey 2.
Gotta hold it down.
I don't know how to use Siri. What is 2001 A Space Odyssey about?
It's about an assistant named Hal who tries to make contact with a higher intelligence. These two guys get in the way and mess it all up.
That's good. So that's her, you know, unique perspective. I like that.
I would love it if, you know how like Google actually has artists hired on staff to do nothing but work on Google Doodles. I would love it if Apple hired people on
Siri
staff to
people,
do nothing but to give Siri funny material.
And you think that hasn't happened? Somebody's doing all this.
What's the story of Blade
Runner?
I'm hoping
it's not just like...
Let me think about that. This might answer your...
She actually gave me a Wolfram Alpha synopsis of Blade Runner.
Oh, man. She's
Tell me about really... Blade Runner.
Searching the web for Blade Runner.
Maybe. But, you know, it's... there must be some specific syntax that I'm not... Okay. What's the plot of The Matrix?
Which of these were you interested in?
It's giving me all the different...
It's about Keanu Reeves and reality and red pills and blue pills and black leather and guns, but mostly about Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
iBookery suggests you say, Siri, who shot first?
Oh, who shot first?
This might answer your question.
She gave me Wolfram Alpha's answer. By the way, Wolfram Alpha says Han Solo shot first.
Well, good. So, you got the answer.
I don't know.
Thus validating its data set.
Square is coming to Starbucks in early November. I'm excited about this. I'll be able to pay with my iPhone or my Android phone, just to be completely fair about all of this. It's through the Starbucks mobile app. Because remember, Starbucks invested $25 million in the firm Square. Square does those little doohickeys you attach to a phone. And
you don't need the doohickey to pay.
No, you don't. No, no.
To get paid, you need
it. No, the pay with Square is fantastic. Yeah. I just love
it. They have it at Acre Coffee.
Acre over here. I do it all the time. I go in there more because of that. Yep. And it's kind of makes you feel special because you could just say, yeah, put it on Leo. And they got a picture of me, and you can even put a tip on it. Although they don't have tip support. In this new version, they'll offer tip support later in the
So you don't tap it, scan it, anything. You just walk into the place and they start making your order.
Yeah, it uses geofencing, so they know when I've walked in. You can actually turn it on. And I stopped doing this because I walk by Acre all the time, so I figured I'm popping up on their screen. So you can actually have it automatically. Like when you arrive, it just does it. Or you can say, "Hey, I'm here." And it uses geofencing. And then it pops up on their iPad, a picture of me. And then I say, yeah, I'm Leo, and I'd like a coffee. And they say, okay, Leo. And then on your on the pay with Square, you can give them a tip. But it's like in big, large increments, like $1, $2, $5, $100. I don't understand that. Apple is shipping new software for iPhone 4. Perhaps 9 to 5 Mac speculates. It's China's iPhone version, China Mobile's iPhone version. We haven't seen it, but I don't have an iPhone 4, so. And apparently, again, almost like a Easter egg, you can add some interesting historic tickets to your passbook. Fion, or is it Flan? I guess it's Flan Solutions. Has put together some fun historic events, concerts, and coupons to put in your passbook, including the Titanic, the Wright Brothers' first flight, Starship Enterprise, SpaceX. I like that one, going to the space station. That was it. We showed that on Sunday.
So is this a reaction to nobody can figure out what to do with passbook yet?
Yeah.
Because they've got these little fake things?
Yeah. I have the sailing of the Santa Maria from Spain to the New World, August 3rd, 1492. Departing at 1830, Captain Christopher Columbus.
the I added them. I'm very excited that I
did.
Have
you
them now.
Do you see them now?
Yeah, but I don't know what to, for.
Now what do you do?
But it says, it does show you how flexible the Passbook system is. I mean, you can apps can deliver to, can deposit them directly from an iOS app. You can have them as an email attachment. A website can push them out. So I hope this means that in the next 3 or 4 months, every single popular transaction that you make that involves like an iPhone Pass gets translated into a Passbook thing. I made my first Starbucks purchase via Passbook for the first time last week, and man, did I feel like I was in 2012. I loved that so much. Bought an Amtrak ticket the other day, was openly hostile when I found that the Amtrak app did not work with Passbook yet. I still had to do it the old-fashioned 2011, the old-fashioned summer of 2012 way, which is to actually open the Amtrak app to access my online ticket.
This is interesting. They also have famous events, including we were just talking about 2001: A Space Odyssey, the movie debut of that, of Star Wars. I remember going to see that May 25th, 1977, but not at the Man's Chinese Theater. The Assassination of Lincoln. You can go to American's Cousin.
That's a very hard ticket to get.
Scalpers
booked the entire theater in like 10 seconds when that date got appeared.
So you add them through iCloud. And I don't know what the barcode. I wonder what the barcode does on these.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
My developer, Donald Burr of Otaku New Podcast, actually made me my own. And I don't know what for either.
Oh, so that's how easy it is.
Yeah.
Would you like to be at the World Cup Championship where England won in 1966? Or at center court at Wimbledon 2008, Federer Nadal. That was a good one. Classic concerts. Let's see what concerts we could go to. Vive la France. Marie Antoinette getting her head chopped off. That's not a concert. this is fun. This is fun. Anyway, just FLON solutions.com. FLONSolutions.com. Number one brand, according to Interbrand. They look at all the top companies in the world. Based on a variety of things. And Coca-Cola worldwide is the number one brand value, up 8%. But Apple, coming on strong, more than doubled its brand value from number 8 last year to number 2 in 2012. Coming on strong, ladies and gentlemen, Apple Computer. It's funny because they knocked IBM out of the number 2 spot. Much would make Steve very happy, I think.
I just find it amazing that IBM is still up there. Like, you don't think about it. They're everywhere. I mean, they still do a lot, but the brand isn't as omnipresent as you would expect.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at Apple and Google and Coca-Cola and Microsoft all around them, you don't think of IBM that way.
The rest of the list, IBM, Google, hovering at number 4. Microsoft going from 3 to 5. GE, McDonald's, Intel, Samsung taking a big jump from 17 to number 9. And then
They call up people and say, have you heard of these companies? And they say yes or no?
No. I don't think this is a survey. I think this is some sort of, it's based on fiscal performance and the premium that they could charge based on name alone. The Interbrand is a consulting company. Who knows? That, you know, you do these things for the press release, right?
And they've done well.
And they've done well. And I am going to wrap it up today before we get to our picks of the week because we are running a little long. We started late, but we're also running long. With this cute little, I don't understand the point of it, from Inventica Solutions, he created an HTML5 iPod. So if we go to, let's see, now that's his web page. Let me go back a little bit.
I accidentally played with this during Burt Monroy's speech at the Mac Computer Expo.
Did it make music?
It was blaring out and I couldn't shut it off.
Oh, that's so funny. Let me see. View the demo. It says CSS and HTML5 and the scroll wheel works. It's got playlists, not very elaborate ones. And it'll actually play songs. This is just like the first iPod.
Everything is new again, walking with the permagrin head so high.
I don't know who what this group is, but I like it. Permagrin.
I love the idea that because we're losing like so much of our culture because The iPod was such a transformative sort of thing, but as soon as like someone loses the last FireWire charger and the last instance of this, the battery like gives out, no one will ever know what this was, what it was like to interact with this ever again. I think that there should be interactive simulacra of just about every other significant tech product that's out there, so that 100 years from now, someone can actually operate an iPod and find out what the why our primitive brains actually thought that it was a cool thing.
Yeah, I agree. This is much more experiential than reading about it.
Just think of a museum in 100 years where they have like little displays of iPods where you can play with them.
They'll have 3D printers,
but they've rebuilt
them. Print them out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I still have mine, but I broke it putting Linux on it.
Oh, no, I have mine untouched.
I kept
the original iPod. It's in my special lead-lined cupboard so that we'll always be safe from atomic attack.
It's a salt mine in Utah.
It is.
Next to the Johnny Carson master tapes.
There's no humidity. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I would like to do, if we can, an iOS tip.
Yep.
A Mountain Lion tip or a Mac OS X tip. And Allison, I want to give you the chance to do a pick if you wish. We'll all do our
picks. Absolutely.
But first, I got some really good news from Audible.com. You've heard us talk about Audible.com. And it is a great place for people who love to read. People get mad at me when I say it's reading, but it's the same text you would read if you read the book, but they read it to you. And I like that. I like listening to books because I can then read my books at times when I wouldn't normally be able to, like at the gym on the Stairmaster, or when I'm commuting, driving the kids to school, when I'm cleaning the house. You know, one of the reasons I got those Sonos speakers is so that I can have my Audible book in every room in the house. So as I do the chores, I do the laundry, I clean up, I make breakfast, whatever, I hear the book.
I'm constantly listening to something while I'm cleaning.
Constantly. I love it. Sonos is a really good reason, actually. Audible's a good reason to get a Sonos system, as expensive as it is. I listen to music on my Sonos system, too, but Audible's just fantastic. Highly recommend you take a listen. And we're going to get you a free book in a second. The usual offer, audible.com/MacBreak. You'll sign up for the gold account. You'll get a credit. That means you can get, there are a few books that are multiple credits, like 0.05%, but most of them are a single credit. I'm out of credits, I have to say, because I ran out of credits and I bought Cloud Atlas because I wanted to listen to it before the movie comes out. I'm very interested.
I never like to wait. And that's one thing. I like to listen to the Audible book after the movie.
Oh, well, see.
Because the thing is I don't want to ruin the movie. I don't want to know what was missing. What I want is to discover, like, I can't believe
that's a good argument.
That all makes sense.
Okay, that's a good argument.
So I always do it after the movie. Because otherwise, you watch the movie and you go, cannot believe they didn't include this. You know, why didn't they? They missed so much.
I guess my attitude is, if I have a choice between spoiling the book and spoiling the movie, I'd rather spoil the movie. Anyway, that's my recommendation. It's really an interesting book. They have to tell you up front because Cloud Atlas is a weird novel where one story ends abruptly and the next one begins, and then they circle back. And they warn you at the beginning, this is not, the audiobook is not broken. It will promise you everything's normal. You just keep listening. What are you listening to right now, Alex? Andy?
Well, my recommendation this week is something that I've owned in multiple formats. It is the new improved Bob and Ray book.
Oh, I got to get
Bob and Ray. They were a New England radio comedy team that went national from the 50s and the 60s. Their career went well into the 70s. And Bob Elliott is the father of Chris Elliott. And that gives you some idea of where Chris Elliott got his weird, oblique sense of humor from. All I can tell you is that I recommend their comedy so highly because it's that magical form of comedy where there's no set up punchline. It's not like Monty Python where they're doing these absurd things. They just keep ratcheting it up, the absurdity, more and more and more. It's two like middle-aged guys having like conversations that you would hear on any radio station in the 50s and 60s. Interview, man in the street interviews, just coverage of local events, ads. None of it is I don't know why they actually published this as a real book. Because this version of it is Bob and Ray and before a live audience performing all this material. In the book, you read their sketches and you say, why would anybody consider this funny? Because this is just like a transcript. It seems like a transcript of a plain conversation that you might have heard like five times over the course of a month if you just wait in the subway long enough. when you hear it performed, it's just that 10 degrees out of phase with reality that just you don't know why you're finding this hysterically funny, but it is hysterically funny. So I'm recommending it, even though it's only 2 hours and 25 minutes long. I know normally I'd like to, you know, recommend that you, if you're going to get your free book, stick it to the man, find the 26-hour, the 28-hour, the 32-hour book. This is where we make it all up. I find them hysterically funny. You
Let
might
me play
agree,
a little bit. I'm a big Bob and Ray fan. I agree with you 100%. Let me see if this...
But it's psychogenically impossible to be thrown by a question.
That's right.
Do I make myself conspicuous? Yes, but then you always do. So it's really our fault for inviting you back. All we can do now is hope that you won't be thrown by any of this week's questions. And our first letter to the word wizard comes from a woman in Ohio.
It's, she writes, you just got to listen. You could search probably for Bob and Ray and find some on the internet. They are just huge inspirations for me. And I agree with you 100%.
I have like a couple hundred hours worth of Bob and Ray in my library.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know why this is so funny. This is a guy interviewing a truck driver whose truck got stuck in an overpass. Nothing particularly weird happened, but it's just so hysterically funny.
Now, I have to tell you, there is something special on this particular Audible offer today. We have another free book. You don't even have to be a member. I think Audible wanted just to give you all a chance to hear not only a great book, but it's a novella. It's, you know, it's 2 hours and 8 minutes, so it's not going to, you know, take up a huge amount of your time. But it's a fantasy book. They know that you guys like sci-fi and fantasy, and they're offering this completely free, no strings attached. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to sign up. It's Brandon Sanderson's Legion. I'll play a little bit of this for you. All the Audible books have samples.
Stephen Leeds, and I am perfectly sane. My hallucinations, however, are all quite mad.
Stephen Leeds is Legion. His unique mental condition lets him create a multitude of personae, hallucinatory entities with a wide variety of personal characteristics. This is where audiobooks leap into life. This is going to come alive in your mind in a way it could never do so in a movie theater. This is free right now, regardless of our other offer, regardless of whether you're a member. You do not have to join. Just go to audible.com/Sanderson, S-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. No trial or credit card required for this free book. I think that they just love Brandon Sanderson and they want to turn you on to him. I had not listened to any of his stuff, so I'm going to download this right now because it's completely free. And by the way, it's also a demo of WhisperSync. This is a WhisperSync for Voice Ready book. So if you get the Kindle book for $2.99 from Amazon, then you can have the book in the reader and listen to the book and go back and forth. It's really cool. Audible.com/Sanderson for that completely free novella. And then join Audible. Join the gold plan. Book a month. First month's free. First book's free at audible.com/MacBreak. So there's two different ways to play our game. Thank you, Audible. That's a nice offer. Audible.com/Sanderson. Let us get... Do you want to do an iOS tip?
Sure.
Something that can help us?
I got a couple.
All right.
So I got two mail tips that were sent in by my Twitter followers. You know, sometimes in the morning I say, "Hey, I'm working on this. You got any good ideas?" And there were some good ones that that I don't think we've covered. So one is this came in from Seamus Lavery in Brussels.
Wow.
And if you go, a lot of times it's hard to find the draft folder quickly. You know, you wrote something and then you accidentally put it in the draft and now you can't find it. Turns out if you go to your Compose and you hold it down, just keep on holding it down, all your drafts pop right up.
Whoa, wait a minute. See, I don't know how you discover that. That's awesome.
I don't know how you discover it. How you discover it is you tell your Twitter followers that you're thinking that you need to have a good tip, and then they give you a great one. So
press and hold the Compose button.
Yeah, and pops up.
And drafts show up.
And all your drafts show up.
That is cool. Let me do that again for you. I don't have any drafts, but if I did, it would do it. So this is the Compose button. It's that little, you know, square with the pen in it. You press and hold it.
You gotta make sure.
Whoops. No, that's to compose a new one. I gotta hold it a little longer. There you go. And here's your drafts. If I had drafts, it would be there.
But that's something that's painful.
That's awesome.
And while you're doing that, if you want to insert a photo or video, when you hold down, you know, you can hold down and it says select all paste.
Right.
Hit the little arrow and it says insert photo or video.
Oh.
Wait, where was that?
You're composing a message and you
see,
want,
that's what I'm talking
you're
about.
Composing a message and if you hold press down. And hold, it says select all.
You're like, okay, but how do I get my photo in there?
And there's an arrow there. Whoops. This is where my big fat fingers are always going to get in the way.
Hold it down.
And then there's an arrow.
Alex, that was worth how annoying this was to be on today. I mean, I really didn't want to do it, but that was worth it.
There we go.
See? Insert photo or video.
And then that'll and then that'll let you insert something from your iPhoto. So it is two little mail tips. And that one was sent Tom Hora at Green Bay. That was his suggestion. So thanks, Tom, and thanks, Seamus.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. And I just, I got like 50 of them. So I'm going to try to collect them all today because it's great to get everybody's input. So
very cool. By the way,
really good.
Do we have a name for the booger? You know, when you refresh your mail, that thing.
I know what is
what is that? It's the only app that does this. It's the little
booger.
It's the little stretchy thing. Snap.
Yeah,
that's all. As far this is new to iOS 6, and as far as I know, this is the only app that uses it, and probably Apple has even patented that.
I do think it's system wide. Yeah,
it is absolutely patented. Yeah.
Yeah, it pops up in other apps too, like podcasts.
And Samsung, don't ever do the
booger, Samsung.
And Samsung is saying, you know what? I think you can have this as it. We respect your intellectual property too much.
Wow! So it works in podcasts. Wow!
It's part. Yeah, there's in iOS 6. That's a new behavior that you can put into your scrolling list view. A pull to refresh is something you can just simply add to whatever app you're doing.
I should try this. Of course, TapBots probably doesn't use it because they go their own. They go their own way. Let me just try it.
See, and if this were Android, someone would put in an app that modifies that behavior. So when you do the pull to refresh, it goes.
Andy Yanatko, you got a Lion or an OS 10 or a Mountain Lion tip for us? I'm stealing them all for my talk on the Insight Cruises on Mac Mania 15.
I got a quick one. This one is specifically a tip for Mac OS Pages. And you know that you tap the inspector button to get the inspector to modify font size, frames, sizes, tables, charts, things like that. But maybe you actually are doing the sort of thing where you would like to have two or three or more inspectors so that you can always have like the font a font panel, but you also want to have another panel so you can set borders. What I did not know, despite being a Pages user for many years, is that if you option click on another one of those tabs, once you have the inspector open, it will open another instance of the inspector window pointing to whatever tab that you've just selected.
So we can make our screen as cluttered as we do with the Microsoft Word.
Well, hopefully the next edition, you can actually have like 19 ribbons over the top of the screen. You still have to, you know, actually just have them outside of the window. But it is a way to have more than one bank of settings available and visible to at the same time.
Look at this. You can do them all. This is option click. Again, discoverability is tough, but once you know it, that's a very handy tool. Look at that.
I wrote that one down.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? That's in Pages. Option click the inspector tools to kind of tear them off as a new page. Allison, would you like to give us a pick this week?
I would. Can I actually give you, if I go fast enough, give you an iOS and a Mac?
Absolutely.
So I'd like to start with a problem to be solved. A lot of apps and websites will tell you what time it is in another time zone. But what they never tell you is what time will it be at a specific time in your time zone. So there's an app called Time Scroller. It's an iOS app. It's a couple of bucks. I forget how much it is. And it's got a little scroller thing. You set up the cities you care about, and you scroll this little thing until it shows you what time it is in your time zone, and then it tells you what time will it be for Don McAllister.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and that's not at all common. And it works really well. It's also a dashboard app on the Mac that's actually free, and I use it all the time. You can name them. So I have one that says Don and Bart. And that's England and Ireland's time zone, that kind of thing.
That's clever.
Yeah, I really like it. It's one of my favorite things. I use it all the time, so I don't have to think it up. The other one is for the Mac. Another problem I have is that I put my Mac to sleep, and then I yank out my iPod, and I forget to eject it first. So this one is called Jettison. It's a menu bar app. And it'll allow you to do a bunch of different things. You can put your Mac to sleep. You can eject iPods and other devices, your backup drive, that kind of thing. Or you can eject and sleep. So it's one-stop shopping, basically, to kill the whole thing when you want to run out.
Jettison, is it free?
I think it is free. No. I'm sorry. It's in the Mac App Store for $2.
$2.
$2.
All right. And the other is a dashboard. It's the first time we haven't talked about dashboards ever.
Well, it's the one thing I use as a dashboard widget, I gotta say.
But it's a perfect use for the dashboard, actually.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah. I think so. And like I said, it's an iPhone. It's cooler on the iPhone. You can actually tell it, once you pick a time, you can tell it to send everybody an email that's on your list, and it shows them what time it is in their time zone.
Oh, I like that.
I don't ever use that, but it's neato.
Did you know, Don, that it's 9 a.m.? Hey,
exactly.
Alex, I know this isn't your pick, but can you hand me that Elemental?
I can try to pick it up. I'm not going to be able to.
It's pretty heavy. This is what we want to buy. Right now, the way we stream, we send streams out to Ustream. We sent a couple to Ustream, to Justed TV, to BitGravity, to Flowsoft Media. So we send them out to a variety of sources, and then they send it out to you. But we're doing it in a kludgy way. We run a kind of a Wirecast and a bunch of scripts.
And by the way, as a note, I mean...
Oh, sorry.
We use Wirecast a lot for a lot of different things. It's cool. It's just that it's not built for 24 hours.
Streaming. So there's a machine that actually Colleen's been telling us we should buy for years.
She told me that too, and then I did.
You bought one.
I bought more.
Until I found out how much it was. How much is this thing? This is like... 25. What? How much is it, Colin?
$17,000.
It depends on your configuration, but yeah.
But this does it all. It's called Elemental. It's hardware device only, right?
Yeah, this is a hardware encoder.
And we've wanted one of these, and this would let us be much more reliable in terms of our streams.
They come in a couple of configurations. This one is the one that we use on site, on when we do streams on site.
It's more portable.
More
portable.
Just
you can tell it's portable because it has a handle.
Yeah. See, it's got handles. The other one, and we've shipped the other one. The other one, we have one in our colo, in our data center that has that's a rack mount, and it's really long.
Yeah, that's probably the one we would get.
Sounds like a jet engine. This one's also really quiet.
This is the nano model.
Yes. So, and it's pretty. When it's actually on, there's like pretty little.
You don't want to sell that used to us, do you? By any chance?
I'm still using it.
So, what we did, and I think this is kind of fun, we decided to sell it. We didn't really bill it this way.
I should have thought of this.
I've always thought of it as we're raising money for the Elemental t-shirt. And if you go to TEESPRING, teespring.com/twit, you can see it. It's $20, and there are 3 days of 5 hours left. And the good news is we've sold over 2,000, which I think means that we've made enough money to buy an Elemental. So thank you, everybody. They will be shipped as soon as the 3 days expire, as soon as everybody orders. It's a one-time only. Once we do that press run, it's gone. It's a nice t-shirt. You get to choose American Apparel or Fruit of the Loom, so it's good quality. $20, and you can wear that shirt with pride and say, we helped Twit improve the quality of their stream. So there you go, teespring.com/twit. Now, you could do a real pick.
So, I am. Let me open my iPad. So my pick for today is Frank and Weenie.
Have the
you
movie.
Seen Frank and Weenie? No,
no, but you have little kids. I have no reason to see Frank and Weenie. My son hear good things about it.
So here's the funny thing: I saw the.
Oh, it's a book.
This is the iBook. So
is it based on the movie, or is the movie
based on the movie?
Okay.
So no, this is the kind
it's
of
a stop action movie.
Yeah. What I wanted to show was this is the beginning of iBooks starting to come to life. So like, click on that. Click on that over there. Click on that. And then click and drag.
Oh.
That's one of the characters.
So this is the 3D rendering of one of the characters.
Exactly. And they've
can see, a kid could see the sketch.
Right.
And then they could go from the sketch to the screen. Now, Malachi's probably too little for something like
this. Oh, no. He just cuts right through this. He just,
one of the authors of this map.
Yeah. I mean, Malachi put this together. No.
This is cool.
No, so, but the thing is I think this is, I really feel like this is a great example of the future of books.
Multimedia.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of text. There's a lot of movies. There is some text that ties everything together. And if you go earlier, there's some movies that you get to see like the development of it.
So this is Sparky the dog. And these are actual maquettes. You can't maybe tell, but that's a photograph of the maquettes that are used for the animation. And then here's the 3D animation of Sparky, or the 3D rendering, I should say, of Sparky the dog.
And there earlier on, I think that if you go back to some of the earlier chapters, there are movies that show you like what the storyboard looked like versus what the final looked like,
storyboard animatic and final footage video. Wow.
So here's the animation, audio in here. I think I turned it down, but if you,
So you actually see the movie and then the animatic, which is kind of the simple cartoon version that they used for a shooting script. Wow. But so you would love this because it's how they make these things, you know?
Right, and I think that this is a really great, I mean, this is...
I think a lot of kids would love this.
Right, and what you're really seeing here is what is the iBook starting to live up to its... The iBook author starting to live up to its capabilities, which is a book that is easy to browse through lightly, but there's lots of rat holes.
Right.
You know, interesting ones, where if you're interested in something, and I think, because I think that is always the challenge with books, is that there's a... Like, what do you cover? So cover the whole thing, and then if I'm really interested in that next section, I can dig deeper into it. And I think that that's something very hard to do in a traditional book, and I think that this is still just a baby step, in my opinion, of where books are going to be going. But I think that this is a great example of what's possible and where this is a promotional piece.
So it's free?
No, it's not free, but I mean, it's... I don't know how much it is. I download a lot of iBooks because we're doing a lot of iBook development. And this is just one of the...
shouldn't have to ask.
The ones that I... I mean, all of these iBooks are really inexpensive so far anyway. I'm not buying the textbooks.
This is a Tim Burton movie, which...
So the preview is built in.
I've heard some very good things. It really shouldn't charge you since they have an ad for the movie.
But I can't wait. They have one coming out.
Good things about this movie, actually.
It was funny because I thought my son, who's 4, I thought he'd be too young for it, for a Tim Burton movie. But all he talks about is wanting to go. So I'm well, we'll see how this goes. Maybe we'll be up all night going, no, it's really not.
There's the armature inside the puppet so that they can bend it and it'll hold its position because it's a soft. Look at that. This is very cool.
But wow. I think this is the beginning of these books. I think we're going to look back on books like this as some of the first ones that did this. When you saw the textbooks, you were like, eh. You know, like, that's fine. But when you're starting to see how they're adding all these pieces and adding that interactivity, this is the beginning of the end of the traditional book. This is where we look back 5 years from now or 10 years from now, and we can't imagine opening a paper book except for old people. You know, I mean, you know, like, but my kids are never going to never be able to imagine. Old people like me. My kids will never.
There was a linear narrative in which there was a coherent story with a beginning and a middle and end that we didn't have to.
Yes.
We couldn't abort at any moment where we'd got bored. Oh, what puny brains we had back then.
Yes. You couldn't manage 6 different possibilities at one time.
Oh, that's neat.
Or the other.
Create a collage. One of the things that's neat about Frankenweenie was this: Tim Burton made this as a young man, like 20 years ago, right? Do Drag Him Down? A kid could figure this out.
I know.
Not humans. Not me. Create your collage now. Okay, all right, here we go. I had to press the button that said to do it.
Now drags.
Now I can.
Maybe. Okay, well, there we go.
This is fun.
You just
have to be like a kid and try stuff. So Frankenweenie on the iPad.
Yeah.
And is it in the iBook store or is it?
You can find it in the App Store.
Okay.
Or in the iTunes. In iTunes. And you also can find it on the iBook store in your on your iPad. And as I said, especially if there's a lot of people that I get emails from that are listening to, you know, that are thinking about iBooks, especially if you're thinking about construction of an iBook, this is probably one of the better ones that I've seen.
Good. Frankenweenie. Andy Anatko, your pick of the week.
I've got a good one. I readjusted things so you could actually see the screen a little bit better. It's an iPad app called Grid-Editor. Here we have a kind of a dull, like, gray sky picture of the flags outside the Boston Public Library that I shot the other day. And, of course, it needs some help. But normally in a photo editor, you have to sort of march your way through that process of, okay, well, what if I make it a little bit brighter? Okay, well, maybe if I make it a little bit more shadow contrast. Well, what if I do this? Grid-Editor, as the name implies, will take whatever picture you've got in the film in your camera roll and do this to it.
Whoa!
It will show you every single option available to you, and it's like an eye test more than anything else.
So it's a grid with all the different filters applied of the image.
There's a logic to it where the way it's set up right now, all the thumbnails above this are progressively brighter. When you go above the center image, it's getting progressively more contrasty. When you go below it, it's getting progressively more vibrant. When you go this way, it's getting progressively brighter. This way, it's getting progressively darker. So as you can imagine, as you scroll around, you can see, well, actually, the nice one is the one where it's much brighter and a little bit more contrasty. So if you tap on this one, it will then show you what that looks like.
there's a checkbox on the bottom. So if I tap this checkbox, watch what happens. Now that becomes the new like default image. And now it's loading in. Okay, now do you want it to be up? Up is sharper. Down is shadow contrast. This way is, makes it a little bit more gloomy. This way makes it a little bit more desaturated. And once again, you scroll around looking for the one that you like the best. How about this one over here? Yeah, that looks nice. And so there are a whole bunch of different filters like that. And as you march your way through all of them, it will keep loading in, like changing what each axis does. And letting you combine these effects in really, really cool ways. Right now, it seems to have chosen, here, if you go down below, you're suddenly making it black and white. And now here you're making color changes to like the color balance of it. You can also, if you want to, if you want a little bit more control, like let's say I know I don't want to make this 1970. So if I tap on that, if I tap on this marker here, now it brings up like an actual panel of filters. So I can decide, let me see. I want this to be more contrasty. So now it changes it so that now moving to this way makes things more contrasty. So as you can imagine, it's just a really easy way to start with an image that you don't know what's wrong with it, but you know it needs some fixing. And just through letting it do things, just walking you through better like this or better like this. Would you like brightness plus contrast? Would you like contrast plus a little bit more saturation? And by the time you go through about two or three steps of these, you wind up with something very, very, either very, very close to what you would have wanted this photo to be like, or something you would never have imagined had you not seen a sample of this in front of your eyes. So it's a brand new app. It's just 99 cents. They're going to raise the price at some point. I would like to think that I am sophisticated enough a photo editor to not require something as easy as this, but I require something as easy as this. This is the sort of thing that you couldn't imagine this app ever existing outside of the iPad, even though the basic concept, I suppose, you could even do it as a desktop app. But man, this really shows off the advantages of having a big touchscreen device.
Very cool. How much again? 99 cents?
99 freaking cents.
That's a good deal.
Not even an entire dollar.
I'm sorry. I was a little distracted. I'm squishing zombies. I hope you don't. It is Halloween after all.
Maybe it's good that Neil did not invite me to speak. If I can captivate my audience such that distract them from a game for 5 minutes.
So this is a newish game. You've played Farmville, right? You've played We Rule, right? Well, how would you like The Simpsons to get into Farmville and We Rule and maybe even have some zombies? I'm supposed to be able to tap them. Oh, man. They've zombified everybody. Even Lisa's a zombie now. It's this is kind of a We Rule with all the Simpsons characters in it. I don't know. Are you hearing the audio? Oh, yeah. I know what I need to probably do is turn the audio on. Yeah, there we go. It's called The Simpsons Tapped Out. Available for iPhone and iPad. And it's free, by the way, which has a certain appeal to people like me. I know. You probably say, I finally got We Rule and Farmville out of my system. I don't need another game to it. But this one has The Simpsons in it, right? You've got Apu. You could build a parking lot for the Quickie Mart. Let's do it. We'll drag it right here. Here we go. Let's put it right in front of the Quickie Mart. That's where a parking lot belongs. And I'll collect points. Apu says, what is this? The Quickie Mart is not supposed to have a lawn. Where is the comforting pavement? Now I can place pavement everywhere. Pave Paradise is the name of it. That's why I like this. It's got the simple humor of The Simpsons. I'm going to place pavement all over the place, and I'll just drag it around, and we'll have pavement everywhere. It's a lot of fun, and it's free. Did I say free? Not Abu, Apu. Come on. You can actually make Apu pray to Ganesh, which is kind of fun.
I'm sure that's done in a very tasteful way.
Oh, it is.
It's a Simpsons. Of course it is.
Shall we build Cletus's farm? He's a slack-jawed yokel. Oh, I'm too poor to build a slack-jawed yokel farm. Maybe I'll build Frink's lab instead. Need more donuts. By the way, donuts are the currency of this Electronic Arts game because, after all, the Simpsons like donuts. And you can, incidentally, go to other Springfields. Whoops. Let's cancel that. I can go to other Springfields and see what they've been doing. And you have friends. If anybody wants to be my friend,
And kill with you?
And kill with me. That would be... Well, no, zombies are just to the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
That's just a Halloween feature.
Right.
This is not a Halloween game. This is a game you'll want to be playing all year long.
For free.
Well, you know how they get you. You might want more donuts to speed things up, right?
Right.
Actually, the funny plot of this, and it has a nice little cutscene at the beginning, is that Homer blows up all of Springfield by playing Farmville and being inattentive to the nuclear plant. So you have to rebuild it from scratch.
I don't think they really allowed iPads in nuclear plants.
I certainly hope not. Yeah. All right. Have we got picks from everybody here?
I think we have.
Have we covered all the stories? Have we said anything
Absolutely
about the
not.
Macintosh? Yes.
Some.
There you go. I definitely remember distinctly having heard that word in some sequence.
I think we can put our iPads away for another day. Anybody got an invite to an iPad event? Bueller? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody at all. That Simpsons game is very addictive. In fact, I played it throughout most of the show, unfortunately.
I tried not to talk about it.
Well, I just was trying to level up.
Yeah, I understand.
I wanted the zombies.
A lot of dead time there. So.
Thank you all for being here. You can follow Allison on the Twitter at Podfeet.
That's right.
I don't know what it means, but that's her handle.
It's better not to ask on that one.
I don't want to know. And, of course, she is on podfeet.com. That's where Nocilla cast lives.
Ooh, good job.
Yeah.
Donald Burr would kill me if I didn't mention that he wrote an app for, an app for the Nocilla cast. So you can watch my live show on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock. You can be in the chat room and play with the app. He'd kill me if I hadn't made that plug for him.
Thank you for not doing that show during Twit, by the way.
Yeah, well, I might have chosen my time separately, and I was really glad when the Matchbreak Weekly guys set their time to not be during mine. Yeah, I didn't want to take your audience, Leo.
No, you're not. I know, and that's good. We can share. You and I. We shall share, shall we? We'll be very civilized.
I think it's good if we can all share. That's nicer that way.
Alex Lindsay is at the Pixel Core, and you'll be reopening for membership any day now.
Soon.
Well,
things are actually getting where we have better staff in place, and I'm going to start traveling.
Well, you've been expanding like crazy. You've been traveling like crazy. A lot of business. And are you leaving town again, or are we going to see you again?
Yes. Next week I'm in Phoenix in New York, and I'll be gone for 2 weeks.
All right.
So I'm in Phoenix, New York, and then Barcelona, then London, then
I love Barcelona,
Rwanda,
and I love London.
We're launching. So one of the things we'll be doing is we're launching our school in Rwanda at the end of this month. So I'll be in Kigali. So hopefully we'll. So we're excited about that.
And can you join us from Kigali?
I'm going to try. I don't know if I'll be there during Mac break, but I should definitely maybe I could do Twit from there.
I'll be
there on Sunday.
That'd be great. Deal.
Okay. Let me see if I can get up. We have 5 megabits up and down at the school. So let me see if I can. We'll have to test it.
That should be enough.
Yep.
And we want to thank Andy Inoko for being here, as always, a true stalwart of the MacBreak Weekly crew.
A reward of some kind.
In fact, I think you're going to be holding down the fort when I'm in Australia.
I'll be looking forward to it. I'll be assembling my usual cracks team of people that I know extremely well. As opposed to strangers, I'm very Sheldon-esque in that aspect.
People love it when you host the show because it really you do that exactly, and it's kind of it's a really nice change. So I can't wait. I'll be listening after the fact with my minimal bandwidth in the middle of the ocean.
We will try not. I'll tell the people like on the show just try not to move very much because we need to compress the stream as tightly as possible so that people on the cruise ship can get good bandwidth and actually watch it.
Daddy, why does Andy look like he's in Gridator right now?
It'll be the Clutch Cargo version of the podcast where really all you will see is some moving lips and everything else will be completely the same.
That's good. That works, by the way. Just keep that up.
Am I in like 4K HD right now?
Yeah, you're much better. We'll do the whole show that way. Nobody will do anything but move their lips from now on. That way the compression algorithm will work better. Oh, I moved my eyebrows. Bad choice.
Damn it.
I also won't cut ever.
Never cut because cutting, of course, ruins everything. Right. All the keyframes have to be thrown out.
Right.
Start all over again. That's Chad Johnson. Our producer does such a great job of putting this show together each and every week. Thank you for being here, Chad.
No problem.
Don't forget, we've got iPad today on Thursdays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, if you're interested in the iOS universe. And Sarah now does i5 for the iPhone
Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. So we've got the iPhone, the iPad, and Mac Break Weekly. I think we've got this one covered. I think so, on the Twit Network. You can watch our show every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. If you don't get to see the show live, and as you can see, we use the chat room heavily, so that's why live is good for us. But don't worry, we've got on-demand audio and video available at our website, twit.tv/mbw. Thank you all for joining. Yes, A. Barron in the chat room says, you should start an iPad mini show now. Ay. Thank you for joining us, chat room. Thank you for joining us, everybody watching at home. We'll see you next week. Now get back to work. Break time's over.